United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! wants, that's what Harry Reid wants, that's what Obama wants, and I don't want it.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We go to the doctor. My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
America's best talk. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, what's up now?
Oh,
hey, how you
party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Hi, guys, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You know, this is my theme song for the day. You know, what in the world is going on? What? It's in the air. I come in, things don't want to work. My phone doesn't want to work. Things are crazy. It's cold outside. I went to turn on the garbage disposal this morning, and it backfired. I'm like, what? No, what? You know, so I look at what's going on. I listen to Carrie. I was watching MSNBC this morning and listening to their conversation about what's going on in the world today, and I'm like, are you guys serious? You know, wow. Good morning. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is Thursday, and I need you to call me because I'm here home alone, and I don't have anyone scheduled that I know of now. That doesn't mean that they don't show up, and that doesn't mean that I don't need them because I do. It doesn't mean any of that. I can't get my TVs to work. I can't get the remote controls to work. What in the world is going on? So I need you to call me. My number here is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you. I'm going to talk about Glenn Beck today. And you will find out I don't do a whole lot of talking about other people's shows because I don't think there's another better show out there than Tracy and Friends that broadcast on WSOM. And until the world finds out that we're here, they're missing out. I believe that with all my heart, and I have the best audience in the world, and we're just going to grow here, and we're going to make it better here because people need to know what we have to say, and I believe that. And I'm not the best at it, but I know the show is good, and we have, and the show is good because of you. The show is good because of our audience, and that's just true. You guys really make us great. So I want to hear from you today before I start going off on local stuff that I'm involved in and probably get in trouble. So I guess if you don't call me in the next 5 minutes, you're going to hear me do that. But I do have a question for you. When should people be incentivized and or given raises for the job they do? And when do we say when? I'm looking at, I saw last night on Facebook where my local congressman, Congressman Tim Ryan, is spouting about having a mandate, federal mandate for a minimum wage increase. And I'm watching him in this conversation about this minimum wage increase. And the article, the posting right before it was about something that's going on here, and I mentioned to you briefly about the cost of living increase and or raise that that was given to the Board of Elections that we voted on earlier this week. And I think that we should give people incentives to come to work and to do their job. I believe that. I believe that if you treat people right and give them the tools that they need and cultivate them and work with them, that they will do the job that needs to be done, make you look good and with the performance that they do, and everyone will be vindicated and be validated. I believe that. I think that when what has happened is in government as well as in private industry, people have been taken advantage of, not incentivized to come to work, and felt underappreciated. Because of that, you have collective bargaining agreements and you have crazy things that, and you're paying for stuff that you shouldn't be paying for. So when you have opportunity to incentivize people, even if you have to take a pay cut and or limit something else, you should let people know that they're more important than the bricks and mortar. And I think that politicians at times use people as they use people as stair steps to get to where they want to go, and they use them as pawns on a chessboard instead of just doing the right thing. They hide things or they don't disclose things, and no, they don't make things public because they don't want you to know what's going on in the back end of things. So instead of doing what's right for everyone, when people begin to ask questions, they throw rocks and they hide their hands. And because they do that, it causes grief. And it causes people to become very, very lax in their job performance. It causes them not to take pride in what they do. And it causes people to no longer want to work and do their job. And I think this is what's going on not only in government, but it's going on in private industry. And that's why we are where we are. And to use people and to not do the right thing and to try to hide things just because you can, It's not a good political agenda to follow. And I am not moved by the press. And I don't think I consider myself a media person, but I don't consider myself that kind of media person. So when I go to events, I'm there to enjoy myself. Very, very, very seldom am I there to report. Now, if I see something, I've got a camera and a recorder on me at all times. But nevertheless, I'm usually there to enjoy, so I'm not moved by press and what the press says about me. But I am moved by the people who I take responsibility for and my community, which is around me. And I believe that if I treat people the way that they should be treated, then I win. because I would want people to treat me the same way when I work for them. I used to work for a county government, and they would do things, and the collective bargaining agreement would come in and act like they were working in their behest. And when the deal went down, they didn't do anything for them, yet they still took their dues. And this is what's going on all the time. But see, I don't need a collective bargaining agreement or a union representative come and to compel me to do the right thing. I just believe that we ought to just do the right thing. Hey, Matt, how are you? Good morning.
Morning, Tracy. Heard you were all alone in the studio there, so I decided to give you a hand until somebody shows up.
I'm glad you did. I don't even know if anyone's going to show up because I didn't schedule anyone to come up. You know, today's Thursdays. I'm always home alone except for second Thursdays unless I have guests. And fourth Thursdays I do community stuff. You know, we bring the people in from the community, you know, people in your neighborhood. Well, I'm going to do that for my theme song on Thursday. These are the people in the neighborhood.
Yeah, got a little Mr. Rogers there, yeah, yeah. Man,
that's
are you right
Mr.
about
Rogers. That's Sesame Street.
Okay.
These are the people in your neighborhood, in your neighbhood.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Yeah. These are the people in the neighborhood. It's the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. It's the people that you meet each day. Yeah, that's Sesame Street.
And you have any kids and you know that? I have four and I don't.
You know, kids should never have children, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Kids should not have kids.
Oh, no, kids should not. You know, you're absolutely correct.
And guess who is a big kid?
That would be the host of Tracy and Friends?
Absolutely.
Actually, I kind of disagree. I think kids should have kids from time to time because adults tend to take things too serious and their kids have no fun. So you might actually be a better parent than I would be.
We have fun. We play hard, we work hard, and we always do the right thing.
Hey, I just had a bright idea. How about I give you my kids for about a month, and we'll see about that. We'll put it to the test.
But wait, hold on. It depends on how old your child is.
Well, they're 10.
10 is
By
good.
The way, I said they, not child. This is plural, Tracy.
Oh. But they're 10?
Yeah, they're 10.
And what's
10.
The other age? What's the other age?
Well, I have the twins that are 10, and then I have, the other two you wouldn't be interested in because the one's 21 and the other one's 24. Going on 22 and 25.
So I'll take the 10. I'll take the 10-year-olds, and we can have a blast. And when they come back, they'll be ruined, but they'll be well-behaved, and they'll be smart. But let me say it this way. This is the rules. I don't do children who do not go to the potty on their own.
Yeah, right.
And I don't do teenagers who have a mind of their own.
They're in that in-between area there. They do go to the bathroom on their own, and they don't have too much of a mind of their own yet, so...
But when they get a mind of their own, I don't do them because they're crazy then, and I don't do crazy.
No, they're good kids. I love my kids. Hey, getting back to what I was talking about. You're right. You know, I'm growing more and more increasingly tired and disgusted by buying everything that's sold to you, either, you know, especially being a member of a community or a member of a citizen of a state or this country. I'm getting tired of being sold a line of goods, and I think you're starting. You know, you're seeing that more and more throughout the country, where people are going to start really looking at value and digging into, you know, what people are telling them, like what you were talking about with unions and things. I think people are really, hopefully, and I see it. That's why I said I think. I see it actually happening, where people are starting to look for substance now, as opposed
they
to just blindly buying.
But the problem is they're not being told the truth. And let me give you a little backstory about what I'm talking about. The Board of Elections is a independent governing body that takes care, political body even, that takes care of the measure of how elections are run. And those people are the board is appointed, and then they hire employees. And you have equal in the state of Ohio, you have equal balance of Republican and Democrat. And you govern all of the processes during the election period, and you make sure that the law is being adhered to by all. And it is a great responsibility because as a political person, you make decisions not based on politics but based on governance. And here in the county, the county is going out for a sales tax increase and renewal. And there have been some county commissioners in our past that have made some really, really bad decisions. I'm going to say it out loud. They're bad decisions. That being said, a lot of your organizations within the county have a collective bargaining agreement, and they have unions, and they have negotiated pay increases and cost of living increases, whether they be 2% every year, 3% every year, 4% every year. Automatically, on January 1st, those kick in, and there's no stopping them when they kick in. They are budgeted, and they kick in. Well, as an independent governing body who is not a part of a collective bargaining agreement, then we have the responsibility to either give people raises that work for us or not to. And it was brought to us that we were going to give a 3% cost of living increase here locally to our employees. And I stand in affirmation of that. Now, the presentation and how it was done, and maybe some of the back information, maybe we should have dug a little bit deeper. But outside of that, if other agencies within your county get this percentage of increase, then so should we. And I believe that the people that work at our Board of Elections here in Mahoning County, they do a wonderful job. People have no idea how hard they work and what they do. I don't think we get that. And I believe that you should incentivize and you don't take people for granted. And see, this is one thing. You don't know what people do until they're no longer there. And so now, because the media is sniffing around, then there are some board members and there are some people who are wanting to rescind that which they've given. And I'm really a stubborn mule. I was born in December. I stand firm by my decisions and don't make them based upon outside influences. It's the right thing to do. And if we started doing the right thing, if you got a man and he is the best burger flipper at your McDonald's and he can train everybody else how to flip burgers and it is in sync and it can get in line, then that McDonald's owner should give that man a raise past minimum wage. But just because you walk in the door does not mean you get paid the same rate that this man gets who's been there 5 years, who's the best burger flipper that I've ever seen. It's the same thing that goes on in county government. And we want to yell, you know, help these people out, but we want to say don't help those people out. And we use them as political fodder. And I don't think we ought to use people in their positions like that. That's just wrong.
You know, one thing that I take issue with, let me start here. Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you do your job, okay, especially in the private sector, when you do your job and you do it well, and you're probably among the best, if not the best, in your little area, really you should get a raise if you want to keep working for this company, or if the owner wants to keep you there. To keep you there, you need a raise. However, when it comes to like what you're talking about, as far as government, county government, or whatever, I'm just going to go to my school board for a second here and show you something or explain something that I find reprehensible. We had new members just sworn in at this latest board meeting that I was at for our local school board. And one of the members had mentioned quite possibly getting the idea of having the board members' salary cut. As a way to save money and set an example that they really and truly do care about the financial problems that are going on in the school system, which we do have, because the school system, like a lot, are just interested in spending, spending, spending. It's all for the kids, but nobody's willing to give up anything. There was another member on the board that decided that they were going to try to push this all-day kindergarten thing, which is going to cost money. How much, we don't know yet, but it's going to cost money. The funny thing that I saw was the idea of all-day kindergarten was applauded and talked about and praised. When they started talking about cutting school board, as far as the members' salaries go, all of a sudden there was all kinds of research that was done into it. They found out that lawfully they can't do that.
And
I understand that, but at least have the conversation first and say, well, okay, well, you know, at least make it longer. It was literally a 20-second conversation, and the all-day kindergarten, which spends money, took about 15 minutes.
But let me ask you this. Do you know how much your board of members get paid?
They don't get paid a lot. I know that.
I'm just saying. See, this is where education comes in. And when I say education, I'm talking about knowledge. School board members only get paid for formal meetings.
Yes, I know.
So every formal meeting that they attend, they get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Committee meetings and off meetings, they do not get paid for. If they are a good board member, they are sitting on at least 2 to 3 committees.
Yeah.
And what happens is, and I'm saying this not because of your school board, but just saying because of my knowledge of it. You need to give them stipends for what they do so that corruption does not come in.
And I understand. All right. Explain that corruption thing to me, would you? How is corruption going to come in if you don't allow them to take their own cuts is what I'm saying.
No. See, taking their own – it would be different if they were cutting something that they could cut. But they're cutting something that they're not – I mean, it's like cutting a slice of pie into 8 pieces.
I understand.
And the slice is so small, if you cut it, you're only going to get the crust.
Well, if you look at the Congress of the United States and you look at what's on paper as far as their salaries, it's the same thing. It's all about
Now, let
example.
Me say this. Congress, that's something different. Congress's paycheck, cutting their paycheck, they need to cut that. Not because I'm not a congressman, but because when you look at what they get paid for the job that they do, it becomes a career-long ambition and not an incentive to do the right thing. You follow me?
I do, but the...
They get paid 100... The perks that come along with a congressman and with your senator,
mm-hmm.
with no accountability to anyone...
Right.
That's just, I'm sorry.
Well, that's the way my school board is functioning currently. No accountability to anyone.
Well, that's a problem.
It is a problem. It's a huge problem. It's created a rift in this community that's unbelievable. I'm just saying that I'm shocked and it is unlawful. I'm not sure exactly how you put it. It is unlawful in our school. That's true. They cannot cut their own salary. They could do whatever they want to with their salary, but they can't cut it. And I find that discouraging. I just do. And I understand that they get paid very little for what they do.
Why do you find that discouraging?
Because when you're trying to set an example being responsible with money, because they get paid the same way or from the same people that the school gets their levies and such. It comes from the same pocket.
One's it comes trying from the taxpayers.
Exactly.
That's not the setting an example. When you get paid $100, when you get $200, you get $210 meeting. I'm sorry, $210 a month.
Yeah.
I'm saying school board. When you get $234 a month, pay a check, and you've gone to 8 meetings in a week, for your school board, cutting that down to $100, that's not setting an example.
Down to $0, not $100,
no,
$0.
No,
because
you
being
don't,
elected,
you don't, no,
hold on, hold
no,
on, hold on. There's a reason that people run for election on boards, on city councils, everywhere. There's a reason, and it's called privilege. Okay, you're serving your people, you're serving your citizens. Because it's a privilege. That's the way it's been in this country for over 200 years. It's a privilege.
Stipend. It's a stipend. It's a privilege. But you need to incentivize. You need to give honor to whom honor is due. That's why it's there. Help them pay for their expenses. And if you get good people, you don't have to have this conversation. The problem is we get bad people and we allow them to stay there.
And that's true. And unfortunately, with school boards, often it's not somebody who you can elect who's sitting on the board that turns out to be the bad seed.
I'm putting together a proposal and an initiative to automate all of our campaign filing. in the state of Ohio. Because right now, when you for your local offices, you report to the Board of Elections, and it's done on paper, and it's not, you cannot electronically file your campaign finance reports. And in having this conversation and doing a little bit of research, I'm finding out that we have people who are running for office who don't know how to do any of this. They don't have the resources to go find someone who can file for them online. Well, if you cannot turn on a computer in 2014 and you're running for office, then we need to have a discussion on what your capabilities are of governance. Would you say so?
Yes.
I mean, come on now.
How can I communicate
with you effectively without sending you an email so that you can see the spreadsheet that I'm going to present at the next board meeting?
Yeah, I don't think that should be a mandatory thing. I think that people should know that about a candidate, what they can do and can't do with technology. You know what I mean?
I don't think it should. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that. It should not be a mandate. Don't get me wrong. You should be able to run even if you can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
But I should not elect you if you cannot walk and chew gum at the same time.
Agreed.
That's what I'm saying. Hold on. Alabama, your mic is on.
Yeah, I put stuff on your page, man. You just straight ignore me, man. Like, what's the deal, man? What's up?
What are you talking about? Oh, I was coming?
Yeah, like, you never played it. I mean, it's not the same guy, the Black Thought guy that riled everybody
coming
up.
On. Around. You know that, right?
Say what?
I didn't tell you that, huh? He's coming on.
When he coming?
I'll tell you. We're working on it. It's going to be on a Thursday.
Oh, let me know. Hey, let me know that day. He gonna be. Hey, let me know. Cause you told him I was a fan of his, right?
No, I didn't.
Hey,
that
check
in
this
email.
Out. I need you when you get a chance, if preferably this hour, cause I gotta go into work in 30 minutes. Play the Malcolm X clip I played. It's not that long. It's about 3 minutes.
Have you looked at the reason why I have not seen what you've posted? Because I have someone who has posted at least 15 to 20 things on my page.
Of what?
I don't know. But
I had somebody post a picture of Obama sitting on an old school bus to my lest we forget. Man, we almost got in a fight. I was like, man, don't post that mess on my page.
I don't have anything from you on my page.
Yes, you do.
I'm looking at it right now.
Go back. I posted it on your page because I posted it and then I tagged you in it.
Okay.
It's probably on my page.
And it's on your
and
page.
And I tagged you. It's
no,
probably
it
on my
page
and I tagged you.
It ain't on?
All right, then I tagged you
tell
in
me
it.
It's not on my page.
You know, Facebook is all weird, man. But anyway, I tagged you in it and it's Malcolm X and it's just, I really think you like what he's saying. It's nothing. It's not just usual Uncle Tom.
Hey, do you think I ought to get Minister Farrakhan on? Which one is? Oh, this is Malcolm X's speech about black economics. I'll probably do.
Yeah, play that.
Okay.
Play that. It's fascinating. I promise you'll like it.
I didn't. It didn't ship to me. I'm sorry.
Say what?
But it didn't come to me. I didn't get.
Well, it should have.
I can't help that. It didn't get here.
Well, anyway, now you got it.
And now I got
it.
Hold on.
For you,
I got to go back to Matt. Hold on, Alabama. I got to go back to Matt. So, Matt, do you follow where I'm coming from when I'm talking about school? Okay, go back. I got to go back to Matt. Hold on. Matt, do you understand where I'm coming from? Even our politicians should be rewarded for good jobs. The problem is we don't hold them accountable, and they abuse the job that they're in. It's not about the money that you give them. It's about the job that they do that you don't hold them accountable to.
Well, that's true, yeah. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve, you know, if we're talking about salaries and stipends and things of that nature, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have access to it, okay, or that it shouldn't be something presented to them. I'm not saying we need to cut it and get rid of that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying to tell a board or to tell a sitting entity that they are not even allowed to vote on their current situation to have all their funds immediately directed to the schools if they're on a school board, or to the city if they're sitting on city council, and say that that's you cannot do that. I think that's wrong.
It's because the mandate of the law says that you're not allowed to vote on your own salary. So if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but I don't believe I am.
Yeah, right. It's saying vote on. It's I'm sorry.
You're not allowed to take any action on your own salary as you're sitting.
It's written that way. I don't like the way that's written. That's all. I think it should be written that you can't make any decision on raising your salary. Okay, I think that should be the language. Not have any decision on your salary.
Well, you know what's really funny? You can't mandate that your board members take random drug tests or your politicians.
Now that's you're right. You're right. I'm not going to go too far on my school here. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. So no, you're absolutely
right. I'm serious.
Right.
We've had a board member who got pulled over and was found with cocaine and marijuana.
Did he go to Toronto to become the mayor?
No, but he might as well. And when I first got on the board, I wanted them.
A lot of politicians are on cocaine. A lot of politicians do white lines. That's normal. That's par for the course.
But the question is, why is it that we can't mandate that if you're going to mandate employees have random drug tests, and you mandate that school kids have random drug searches, but board members and politicians can't?
Well, who's going to mandate it? They have to mandate it themselves, and if they're not going to mandate it, another government entity is going to mandate it, and they can corrupt it. And if they're going to do drug tests, they're going to probably start giving each other heads up. It's just like A-Rod. Lance Armstrong never failed a drug test. I mean, come on. I mean, people, you know, we're talking about politicians. This country's going to fall from within, and they're going to be the catalyst.
Hey, 212, your mic is on.
Before
I go to break,
how
you doing? Good, how you doing, Eric?
Good. I just want to say, as far as holding the people accountable, I think the problem is a lot of voters don't really know what these people do. If they knew exactly what they did and what they got paid for, then they would be able to be held more accountable, I feel.
You're correct. And they do a very, very poor job. And I know that I'm going to do to try and change that with the boards that I sit on. But I do believe that when we have public access television, those mediums should be educating people on what people are doing and what is going to benefit them. You need to know the process and the procedure of the Board of Elections, who does what and what they do, and the importance of it. You need to know what your city councilmen do, what they do. And what it's about, and we don't teach that, we don't tell that. And as a matter of fact, most people don't want you to know. Because the more you know, the more accountable you can hold them.
Yeah, everybody complains about how much they make or how much they don't make. Well, let me know exactly what it is that you do, and then let we the people decide. That'll change it. That'll fix things.
They'll never get a raise if it was up to us.
No, because we'll never be satisfied. But that's because we've never given people
why don't we just make it a set price? Like, look, we can give you a set $1,000 a month stipend. That's it. That's what the job pays. Because it's part-time anyway.
But you have to realize, you've got people. I'm going to pull the salary schedule up. But you've got people in our county who working part-time. They pulling down a truckload of money, but they don't want to talk about that out loud.
Well, that's good. But you got to think, we had a guy down here who was making $200,000 a year at a university. He taught one class, and he's on the state, whatever. And this guy teaches one class. He was getting $200,000. He teaches a history class. They say he barely showed up.
That's ridiculous.
This is black Democrat land. I mean, you know, Montgomery is one of the most densely populated on the census for black people in the United States. And it's corrupt. Like Alabama State University, type up Alabama State University for corruption. They just fired a guy because he came in, they got a new president, and he blew the whistle. They fired him. They got rid of him. They ganged up on him and got rid of him. This guy was highly, you know, he was supposed to be the president of the university, and they got rid of him.
Just like that man.
Black corruption, I think a guy was talking about, Dr. Claude Anderson, I listened to him last night. He was talking about we had 100 elected officials in 1960. Now, he said in 1990 we had over 9,000. He said, but the numbers had gotten worse. These black people, and I heard Umar Johnson made a point. He said black people, one thing about white people, they will either succeed or die. Black people, we're going to succeed or we're going to cut a deal. And that's it. They cut deal. We cut a lot of deals and compromise, and that's why we like we are.
I just have a problem. I mean, this is my problem. And let me take my break. This is my problem.
Don't forget to play my boy now.
All right. How long is your boy? But hold on. I'll be right back. Listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break, and when I come back,
It's going to be good.
All right, Alabama. We're going to hold you to it. If not, Matt, I want you to go down to Atlanta, and we're going to fly you down there and to take him out. Call it a mini vacation. We'll be right back.
I'm fast and elusive, man. You can't
Everyone faces challenges.
I wonder if for that flight I get paid a stipend from the show to do that.
Probably.
What's going on, guys?
Ain't that, man. I've been up on my thing, man. The other day when we were talking about that group economics thing in South Carolina, and I forget, I think it was 440, they were disagreeing with me on that. And Malcolm X puts it into words that I, you know, he speaks way better. You know, he was just putting it into words as to why. And it really wasn't coming from a racist, we hate white people type thing. Some of the things he's saying now are a little bit, you know, a little controversial, but the overwhelming majority of the message is not.
It's not. Not at all.
Yeah, have you heard what he said?
Oh, yeah. And it's not racist. There's nothing racist about that.
And that's the point I'm trying to make is, like, people think when you – I honestly think segregation was about money. It wasn't – integration was about money, man. It wasn't about trying – it was about bringing in the dollars from a certain – because you got people who want to siphon off those trillions of dollars they make every year. We make over $1 trillion a year now. He's going to mention it. He's going to mention how much they made back then.
Right.
Just like with the Negro Leagues, I was telling Tracy – they integrated because, come on, man, you want to see some athletes, you go in the black community. And they wanted to sell tickets and make money.
Right. We hear about Babe Ruth. Back then, it was so many Babe Ruths all over the country. It wasn't even funny, Alabama.
Satchel Paige played till he was about 50. They don't know. They say he done their play. He might have been 60-something out there still pitching, and he would pitch night after night. I mean, he wouldn't just – these guys, you know, these guys today can't pitch but once every three games, and they get $200 million.
Look, I should have played baseball. I heard stories that you could hear him from miles away when he was warming up, pitching, getting ready for the games. You could hear that. You could hear that ball popping that glove from all over. It was serious.
Exactly. You got a lot of guys now that don't play baseball because they've lost. Like, certain guys that play basketball will probably make great baseball players. We just don't play no more. And the guys, a lot of the, you know, let's be honest, the descendants of slaves are the best athletes, whether you want to admit that or not. Even Michael Johnson got in trouble for saying that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you get the fastest in the world, everybody out there is descendants of slaves.
Yeah, you know, there's certain things, as the token white guy in the room here, there's certain things that, like, I can only say on this show or to you guys or to my friends that are black. Because if I said it outside of that area, like, for instance, you're right. We did get in trouble for saying black people are better athletes. And I was like, look at the stats. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? If it's on paper, you know, and I've seen it, they're better athletes. It's not saying that they're less smart because they're better athletes. I'm not being racist here. I'm just pointing out
the thing is,
I get attacked for stuff like that.
The thing is, Matt, there are still bastards in sports like quarterback that they feel like it has to be a certain way. Now, and I'm not talking about the best of the best, like a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. Those guys they're the best, period. I'm not going to argue. What I'm saying is a lot of times at the quarterback position, there's still a lot of old school people that feel, okay, this guy can't think. It's a thinking position and black people can't think.
Doug Wood. Yeah, but they're athletes. Yeah, they can run all day because they're like an animal. That's how people, that's what people, a lot of people still have that mentality. You don't say it. That's why I pull for people like a Russell Wilson or Cam Newton. And even actually in this Super Bowl, I'm actually pulling for Peyton Manning this time. I want him to get a ring. But you know, I do see that. And so that's the thing. So it's still out there. But there are people that aren't like that, that just want to say whoever's the best needs to get the job.
But I will have to admit this, though. The NFL was not ready for Doug Williams for the Washington Redskins.
Oh, yeah. And he opened his mouth. He was like, D1. He was like, we need more black quarterbacks. We need this. We need that. They didn't like that.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that coming. I mean, because he dominated that game.
Oh, yeah. And come, you know what, though? That's another thing. He came from a black college. Integration of colleges and all that, black colleges were the best in the country for sports. He was a holder because they didn't really fall off until the early 80s when they started falling off. Black colleges were you know, still considered somewhat segregated in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these guys that are in Hall of Fame, these guys played at Virginia Union and, you know, colleges like that. You know, what's the guy, not Tiny Archibald, the other guy. A lot of these guys played in black colleges. In fact, the coach I played for, Coach Ben Joel, he was in that special on ESPN called Black Magic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's the one that beat Bobby Crimmins that time when Southern beat Georgia Tech in the big dance that time.
Right. Okay.
That's him. That's him.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like one person removed from Naismith. Like he's royalty basketball, like the coach. That's about as far as I go with him because he I don't like his coaching style at all. He's just throw the ball up, shoot it, let's go. He's not. He didn't really teach certain things that I felt like the game should have, but hey, he's old school, so.
No, okay.
He just, hey, just throw it up. I'm not really a great defensive mind. I'm just, let's just get it going. Let's just get it. I got one dog and give me four rebounds and we're going to go with it. That's it. He's not going to teach you, okay, let's play great defense. Let's make good sound passes. Let's make sure fundamentally. He never even mentioned that.
He turns around and has the nerve to get angry at the white man when the white man tries to control his life. How can people, a group of people such as our people, who own no factories, have equal job opportunities competing against the race that owns the factories? The only way the two can have equal job opportunities is if black people have factories as well as white people have factories. And then we can employ whites. Or we can employ blacks, just like they can employ whites or they can employ blacks. But as long as the factories are in the hands of the whites, the housing is in the hands of the whites, the school system is in the hands of the whites, you have a situation where the blacks are constantly begging the whites, can they use this or can they use that? That's not any kind of equality of opportunity, nor does it lend toward one's dignity. What does a black man look like begging for a cup of coffee in a white restaurant and doesn't have a job to back up his to pay for it when he does get the coffee? It's putting the cart before the horse. Instead of the Negro leaders having the black man begging for a chance to dine in white restaurants, the Negro leader should be showing the black man how to do something to strengthen his own economy, and to give himself an independent economy or to provide job opportunities for himself. Not begging for a cup of coffee in a white man's restaurant. Number one, he must have a knowledge of himself, and this gives him confidence in himself. He has been brainwashed by the educational system that exists here in America to the point where he feels he was a savage in the jungle when he was before he was brought here, and this destroys his morale. So the number one thing that has to be done, he has to be retaught, he has to be re-educated and made to know that he's a man like anyone else, and then he can stand on his own two feet like others. Then if the black man, the black leadership, who has access to all of this money and has all of these degrees today, can't use his talent and his know-how to set up business opportunities, job opportunities, housing opportunities for the black people, the same as the white leaders have done for white people, then these black leaders need to get off the boat. They're not leading our people toward any kind of independence, but they're using their positions and their education and their talent to exploit our people worse than the slave master did during slavery.
If white immigrants can come to this country 50 years ago with nickels and dimes and no education, and come here and pool their little nickels and dimes and no education, and put up little stores, develop these stores into larger stores, develop this into an industry, which creates job opportunities for whites. Since Lincoln was supposed to have freed the black man 100 years ago, and today the black man, according to the government economist, has spending power of $20 billion per year. We feel that with the black man spending $20 billion a year, not setting up any businesses, not creating any industry, not creating any job opportunities for his own kind, he's not in a moral position to point the finger today at the white man and tell the white man that he's discriminating against him for not giving him a job in factories that he himself set up. If the black man has $20 billion, and these so-called Negro leaders are such geniuses that they can integrate white restaurants and integrate white factories and integrate, force themselves into that which the white man has set up, they should use this same ingenuity to show the black people how to pool our wealth and set up something of our own. And then we won't have to force our way into it.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. You would never find, you can't open up a black store in a white community. White man won't even patronize you. And he's not wrong. He got sense enough to look out for himself. And you who don't have sense enough to look out for yourself. The white man is too intelligent to let someone else come and gain control of the economy of his community. But you will let anybody come in and control the economy of your community. Control the housing, control the education, control the jobs, control the businesses under the pretext that you want to integrate. No, you're out of your mind. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a rundown community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar. And you and I are in a double trap, because not only do we lose by taking our money someplace else and spending it, when we try and spend it in our own community, we're trapped because we haven't had sense enough to set up stores and control the businesses of our community. The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do. He's a man who doesn't even live in the community. So you and I, even when we try and spend our money in the block where we live or the area where we live, we're spending it with a man who, when the sun goes down, takes that basket full of money in another part of the town. So we're trapped, double trapped, triple trapped. Anywhere we go, we find that we're trapped. And every kind of solution that someone comes up with is just another trap. Those, our people, the importance of setting up these little stores and developing them and expanding them into larger operations. Woolworth didn't start out big like they are today. They started out with a dime store and expanded and expanded and expanded until today they're all over the country and all over the world, and they're getting some of everybody's money. Now, this, what you and I in General Motors, the same way, didn't start out like it is. It started out just a little rat race type operation. And it expanded and expanded until today is where it is right now. And you and I have to make a start. And the best place to start is right in the community where we live. So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, What we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community. And once you can create some employment in the community where you live, it will eliminate the necessity of you and me having to act ignorantly and disgracefully boycotting and picketing some cracker someplace else trying to thank him for a job. Anytime you have to rely upon your enemy for a job, you're in bad shape.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WFMA. I hope that Alabama is not happy that you played that. And there's some things that I agree with and some things that I disagree with inside of what was said. But all things being true,
what part did you disagree with?
50 years ago. It's not like we had the Internet where it was instantaneous. We had 24-hour news cycles where it was instantaneous. But it was said, hey, Alabama, go ahead and say what you got to say. I know you got to go work.
Well, I honestly don't see nothing wrong. He said the white people are actually smart to not patronize business of people that own from a different community. I don't understand why, and quite frankly, I'm not saying I don't think he's saying spend every penny you make in what, you know, don't ever patronize this. He was just saying I can respect you if you own your own and you provide jobs and you can hire white and we can hire blacks. Then you can get the respect, but you can't get respect if you got your hand out begging every time they see you. And that's what it looks like to me.
This is my problem, and I may be the only black person in America that thinks this way now. And 212, I'll pull you up in just a second. There's some feedback coming in. I don't agree with the black-white money anymore. Back in the 60s, I think when immigration was coming into fruition, I think we did it wrong because, yes, we went in to get their coffee and we stayed at their counter and we left our counters behind. But today, if you give white America a good product, I think white America will do business with you. The problem that I have is we're not doing what's necessary to have our own economic system within our own selves. It's not about, you know, where white people go, and we don't patronize and or support our own. And I said this to my mom last night. We don't cover our own. And when I say cover, when you have a bad product, if you do something to me, if I take my clothes to your cleaners, and you lose it, I don't have to put it on Facebook that you lost my clothes and don't do business with you anymore. And that's what we do.
Listen,
Alabama?
He made a point. He made a point. He said that General Motors and Woolworths didn't start out as a big, giant operation. They started out small. And if you look at what's the book? Black redneck, whatever the book he said.
By Thomas Sowell?
Thomas Sowell. He was just saying that a lot of these companies didn't start off with banks. Banks weren't big back then. So people started the average businesses started with less than $5,000. So you can actually go out on a small shoestring budget and do something, but a lot of times with black people, we'll go and compare the mom and pop to Walmart. I'm a little bit more lenient when I go into a black-owned business because I think like what he just said. So when I go in, I'll tolerate a little bit of things, but there are certain things I will speak up about, but I think we have to understand people don't have the funding that someone else may have. I mean, we just documented up until almost 2000 they were redlining loans and stuff. I mean, that's what started the housing bubble in the first place when they started, you know, all that stuff, but they were doing this. It was taking place, so let's not act like when people say that it's harder for a black person to start a business, that there isn't some validity and truth to that.
There's a huge truth to that.
It's like black people are the hardest on people starting business. When I had my comedy club, this girl was throwing away the receipt and started talking about, well, I don't want to come to work in black business, black people, this, black people. I said, baby, you taking my receipts and throwing them away and trying to put money in your pocket. And then when I catch you, you want to blame it on me being a black owner.
I'm at the top of the hour break. I'll be right back.
Hey, Alabama, you were talking to me during the last break, and my Skype hung up on me. So if you ask me a question, I wasn't trying to be rude. So sorry.
No. I can't remember, man. She was just playing this little thing with Malcolm X. What did you think of it?
I thought it was good and on point. There was one thing, though, and I think I might have misheard it, and that it was the only thing I didn't agree with, but I may have misheard it. He said that if you spend the money within your community, it grows richer, which I believe is right. But I thought he said that the communities around you or other communities will grow poorer. Is that what he said?
No, he wasn't saying that. He was just saying that you make your communities poorer by taking the dollars out of the if you got a black-owned business in your community, you don't support that business. That means there won't be jobs for that business because people hire people that have the same idiosyncrasies as they do, which is culture. So I feel more comfortable around a black person than I do around a white person because I'm black. And it's not always racism. White people hire white people because a lot of times it's family, they may know the person, or because of the culture that they were raised in, they actually have something in common. So it's easier for you to hire a black person within your community if you spend your dollars at that business. That business can stay in business, and
right.
They can hire people that look like you, and your community businesses will flourish. Then he went on to say, well, those businesses within your community aren't flourishing because foreigners are coming in and running those businesses.
Yeah, okay.
So
I heard it wrong then because it struck me as funny and it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it's not
with
like
the
he's saying he's gonna run Walmart out of business if you go spending money at the black wall mom and pop. He's just saying you're not gonna run them out of business. They're gonna be supported. And I think what it says, it sounds like people are saying segregate totally. I'm not a total segregationist, but even he mentioned education.
Yeah,
I think that hurt people. We were actually better off before we integrated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that
integration is what you're saying. Like, for instance, before it was forced for white people having to hire black people or black people having to hire white people and have that balance. And I kind of agree with what you're saying, and I get it because it's like you get rid of the friction in business. Things run more smoothly for those of us who may not be comfortable with working with an opposite.
Let me ask you this. There are a lot more millionaires today, Matt. There are a lot more millionaires. There are a lot more opportunity, a lot of businesses. There would be a whole entire separate, if let's just say it had stayed like it was, we would be very, very wealthy. And we would be, a lot of us would be free thinking. We wouldn't have the crime we have in our community. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but what I'm saying is we wouldn't have the crime because if you don't have all these, the Great Society, all these different programs, then the thug culture would not exist. It couldn't exist because we would have to – you got to feed. You can't just depend on the government. So you got to get a job. And in order to get a job, you would have to have your pants up. You'd have to speak proper English. There's just a lot of things that we wouldn't have to deal with if it wasn't for the Great Society, if it wasn't for this, you know, cradle-to-grave mentality that a lot of them have. And then as soon as somebody like myself speaks up, I'm an Uncle Tom. It's just laziness. Because you don't want to do the heavy lifting intellectually and engage me and really see and hear my point. You want to just call me names and call anybody that disagrees. You're either racist or you're an Uncle Tom. It's either or. If you're black, you're an Uncle Tom. So it's like it's not really helping people as a whole for us to really engage this stuff like we should. And I think it'll be good for us to have been segregated for and stayed segregated because and then in time, yeah, you spend your money with a white business if you want to, but the majority of the money goes to the black community because and I think that would be good. Back then it would have been good. It's just that the economy was a lot smaller now back then than it is now.
Let me ask this because when you say stay segregated, that's what I understand what you mean between. You know, the laws that we have on the books right now for integration, okay? You're not saying that we should have laws where we need to go back to its law for you know, it's now against the law.
I'll put it like this. If you're going to have a – and this is the thing. The Constitution the way I look at it, if you open a business and you only want to serve Christians, or you open a business and you want to serve, you want to build cakes and you don't want to do cakes with two men, you should have that right.
Right.
You should not. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to allow white and black only, but you're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that certain people will have a problem with that, and you'll lose those customers. And then there are black businesses where black people might want to go in a store and buy something, and we can't buy it. That means we'll have to produce it ourselves.
Right.
Because we still have that necessity. And that's going to create more manufacturing, more black-owned banks. It's going to be a lot more wealth in the black, because then we can't just take our money and put it in certain places where we might want to spend it. Then we would have to be more producers and not be consumers. And I think that would help. And this is the thing that conservatives have to understand. This is freedom. This is independence. I mean, people, if you want to be independent, people have to have this. And you can't, I don't understand why this is, it's not racist. I don't have a problem or hate a person, but you have to allow people to stand on their own too, like Frederick Douglass.
Well, hey,
Let me get in real quick.
Go ahead.
I think you're idealizing segregation, because what you're not taking into account of, we're like, for example, $16 trillion or $17 trillion in debt. That debt money is money that was spent by somebody in government through nepotism heading towards white folks. So white folks, they own the government, the Federal Reserve. They're able to take $16 trillion out of nowhere, put it into their economy. If you were to say, hey, that's great, we'll let white people control all the white money, they can go and make another $17 trillion, put it all into the hands of white people. White people will be extremely rich, just running up debt.
But what I'm saying, Covina, man, we're not getting anything, though. Covina, you act like they give it, like, and it's the thing, you act like they print money because of integration and just give it to black people.
I didn't even say that. I'm dealing with your theory. That's not my theory at all. I'm saying let's run with your theory. Run with your theory about.
There's too many of you to cry.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I was talking about some local stuff today, and Alabama wanted me to go and talk about some stuff and that has happened in the black community and integration. And I'm going to integrate it into the white community. I don't know what they talked about during the break. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Eric, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Eric, listen, are you on a headset?
Oh, no, I'm on my phone.
Okay, because sometimes there's some feedback in there. Turn the radio down if your mic is on.
Okay.
Mute it if you're not talking, because we get and then I
How
cut you out. That's good. You're doing great.
Okay.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I want to integrate. When integration, like I said before the break, when integration first happened, yeah, we did it wrong, and I think Martin Luther King knew about it. I was watching a documentary on him last night, and they said at the end of his life, before he was assassinated, he was very, very depressed. And I think he was depressed because of he knew that there was more to this and that they had gone about it completely wrong in some areas. We needed to have equality. We needed to take down the colored-only, white-only signs. But we did not prepare the people for where they were going and to include them into mainstream so that they could become competitive. And when you let people go free without an education, you get what we have today. Because we may not have been ready for mainstream America. And so we took all of our resources, and we spent it. And Malcolm X was right about a lot of things. But when I look at it in 2014, and I look at how we are bought and sold by people, it's not about black and white anymore, because black people no longer live in a concentrated area, and white people no longer live in a segregated area. Things are included. When I look at the education system, your city councils inside of your urban areas are not an all-white city council. So if we have a majority of all blacks on your city council and all blacks on your school board, and you have the governance of what's going on there, then tell me why you're not doing better. And so that's where my issues lie. I'm going to pull up 626. Your mic is on. Hey, Lisa. I think that's you.
Yeah, I was coming.
Hey, Khabib man.
Listen. Yeah, hey guys. Yeah, I was commenting on Alabama that he was idealizing segregation because you if you practice solely group economics, just solely, black folks do not have availability to Federal Reserve. We can't print our own money. So we can't go out and say, we're going to put an infrastructure, we're going to build this electrical power plant that takes, you have to tax the taxpayers and or whatnot, or get the government resources that's going to take $17 trillion to build this power plant. We can't do that. When black folks are talking practicing group economics, it's mainly on a subsistence level basis. It's like, I patronize your store, you go to my car wash, I go to the such and such, and we're living on from paycheck to paycheck, basically in between us. The white folks, with their Federal Reserve, if they would say we're gonna return back to segregation, we're gonna practice, they could go out and run up $17 trillion of made up money, buy military planes and employ 500 people to work at McDonnell Douglas. They can go and make people and build airliners, build Trump Towers. They're living on borrowed money that they cannot create themselves.
No, wait a minute. Let me say this to you, Kovita man, before I'm going to let you in. The problem that I have with the argument that you make is you act like the Federal Reserve really loves white people.
And they're giving them money all the time, secret checks.
And my issue is white people. Yeah, you said the Federal Reserve, I said if
they return to, let's just do this only white only thing. I said if we follow Alabama and return to segregation.
But you said
they don't want to control the Federal Reserve, right?
Listen. But there may be people who are white who control the Federal Reserve. But you have to understand that there are white people who control the Federal Reserve who don't like white people and don't care about them getting rich either.
I'm countering the theory here. I'm running with the theory. He said, let's return to segregation. Counter that theory.
I gotta let somebody else in. Okay, oh, Covina, man, hold on. Who was next? Was that you, Eric, or was that you, Covina? Was that you, Alabama?
It was Alabama, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing was, I didn't say go to hyper, like just complete, total segregation. What I was saying was, practicing group economics, if you just go back and look at us and how we were, our banks, our communities back then were better off. Now, the community was a lot smaller, not community, the economy in the country was a lot smaller back then.
So it stands to reason that today we would be in a much stronger financial footing, and being able to print money isn't a good thing. That's actually a bad thing. So, yeah, unless Congress had the ability, like the Constitution said, then, I mean, I'm not saying that. And then on top of that, I agree with you, Tracy. They're not just printing money. It's only a certain group. It's only a few bankers that's taking these $3 trillion in and spent these last couple of years. They put that in their pocket. That's going overseas. That's going to other places. That's not going to the American economy at all. So just because they have a Federal Reserve, and then you act like we're not in America. If you practice group economics within America, you're still going to, you know, break bread and spend money at other owned companies. It's just that a company can be allowed to, if they want to, say, hey, I only want to do business with white. If you want to do that, then fine. But then that's going to create a hole in the economy within the black community, and blacks are going to have to fill that hole, and that's good. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, can I ask you guys, I want you to do me a favor and role play this with me. When they hear us talking on the air like this, and you've got a white audience out there listening, what does it sound like to you, Matt?
I've been on board with what Alabama's been. He's been saying the same thing, and I've been trying to wrap my brain around. Not saying that he's hateful in any way in his speech, because he's not. And I understand when you say the word segregation, and I think he just explained what he meant, which is what I was looking for. I understand where he's coming from, and I agree with it. It's a way of leaving people to their own devices, whether those devices be good or bad, but leave them to it to decide for themselves how things go. And the rest of the economy, by doing what Alabama is suggesting, the economy is not going to suffer or do well under these things. It's going to do as it's going to do. So really, I think it would help the economy. It would help the community. It's the same thing about talking about your own local community, whether it be black or white. Keep the money in your local community, and eventually things will get better for your community, which will spread. And I think that's where he's going with that.
When Matt hears someone like Alabama say, let's return to segregation, I bet I bet in the back of his mind they're going, yes, let's return to let's get this guy
on. No, that's not true.
Get this guy in the office.
Scobina, man, that's where you're very, very wrong. You have to realize, I was watching last night, if you look at what happened in the 60s, there were white people who were marching with us.
Exactly. They were progressives.
They're not progressives.
Well, Covina, man, what do you want to just keep begging?
Begging
for equality, we're never going to get. We're never going to get the equality. That's the thing. It's like you want
to
complain about it.
Alabama.
Then when I say go another way, you want to complain about that too.
You're never going to get. No one's going to give you anything. You got to go get it for yourself. And our problem is we don't want to go get it. And we can't go get it if we always think somebody. Yeah, because nobody's going to come give you their own. It's not going to happen. And we're going to have to get, it's like respect. You got to get, to get respect, you got to give it, but you got to demand it. And you don't have to walk in lockstep. You just got to be respectful when you do it. I don't have to like how you live, but I got to respect you for the decisions that you make, even if I disagree. And what's going on in our communities, we're talking about trying to divide them when we need to talk about trying to unite them. Because the same problems that are going on in our community is going on in everybody's community, because as we've said before, they're just using us as a test pilot for everyone else.
And you know what though? I want to understand. Does Covina man think that the Federal Reserve just print money and just sending it to all the white people? I want to hear this one. That sounds a little weird.
Am I still muted? Or am I on?
You're there.
No, you up?
Oh, okay. No, I think though what they do is, I mean, it's clearly how they do with their money. They print the money. And they give it to banks, which lend it out to nepotistic organizations, nepotistic builders. They're building, let's say, the Trump Towers or somewhere in Vegas. That money, they're giving it to entrepreneurs that are making moves in the white community, and it's pretty much supported by every state organization. If you want to Mississippi and they want to build a road up. A super highway or something going through Mississippi, they'll take that money from the Federal Reserve banks, or those institutions. They'll build a highway, and they'll hire white only construction crews. They might have a smidgen of illegal aliens here and there, but it's pretty much
your
community,
no,
and you won't have no jobs. Yes, sir.
No. Listen. They're in business. There's something called culture.
Culture.
And you want a culture of a business. There is an atmosphere that every business wants to temper somehow when they create their office. And because of lack of education and because of lack of understanding, they're very, very cautious about bringing people in who they have misperceptions of. So I go get hired in this all-white company, And because I'm there, I change the dynamic of the culture of the company. And if I'm the wrong person, I can turn the company upside down that will give the owner and management more headaches than they really want. And let me say this. If you are working in a environment, it's not for us to go in there and change the environment to what we want it to become. It's for us to go in there and do the job and get ours. And if you don't like it, then get what you need to get out. And this is black and or white. But when it comes to black people, the misconception of African Americans damages us for getting jobs. But then sometimes we go get hired and we play into the misconception. I was at a store on yesterday, and I was making a purchase, and the clerk was an African-American young lady. And I don't know what in the world happened to her, but all of a sudden she screamed like she was going to get ready to drop dead, and she didn't die. And everybody's looking at her. Everybody's asking what's wrong, and she's still not saying nothing. Then all of a sudden, then we get a little conversation going. No one wants that kind of drama in the course of a day, whether it be black and or white. But we need, and you know this as well as I do, and every African-American who is listening to me knows this, we know that when we go to work, we are the poster child for all other black people that come behind us because of the misconceptions that white people have because of us. And because we've only been united and or integrated for the last 50 years, we need to take that responsibility seriously. And we don't. And that's because of the problem of getting hired behind us. And so that's why we have white companies that have all white people. Because they go and hire somebody in, and we rock, you know, we do things differently.
So the moral of your story is, if you hire black people,
go to work, do your job, and be the best at it. That's the moral of the story.
Nobody would have a problem. Nobody would have a problem with that. I don't even know why you would. You should assume.
If they have If they have a problem with the job that I do, that's their problem. It's not mine. But if I go to work and do the job and I'm at the best at it, then I'll just deal with it.
But, Tracy, you know, the sad part is when I'm talking about trying to control the dollars within your community, I can't even get people to agree. There should be nobody that disagrees with that. Nobody. Mexicans do it. Asians do it. But when I say
nobody,
do it, a brother got to come and be contrarian just because. Just got to disagree.
Alabama.
Just to be intellectual. But it don't make sense.
Alabama, you and I agree on that issue. That wasn't my issue. I didn't agree with
that. That was all I was saying.
I was saying what you were saying. We were better off under segregation. We need to return to segregation. Let me finish.
What I'm saying is, how many banks did we have under segregation? A bunch of them. We had way more than we got now. How was you ever heard of Dunbar High School? Dunbar High School was like one of the best schools in the country. Like, it was competing with colleges, a high school, black school, started by black people. This, I can't just say that we got integrated. I mean, and we were going to crime and divorce and education and everything. We done fell off on everything under this integration thing. I'm just saying, let me make this point before you jump in there. And I got to go. I'm at work. I'm in the bathroom. So let me go back to work. This is what I'm going to say.
Go to work and do your job.
This is what I'm saying, because, see, I'm messing up, Tracy. This is my one point right here, Covina, man. If everything you're saying is true and they fire black people can't get jobs, we can't get resources, if you understand economics, that's going to create a vacuum. You got very great minds and qualified individuals empty. When Booker T. Washington came to, Booker T. Washington had Tuskegee. George Washington Carver came and dug out the trash of the students and built his own lab. This dude was a genius and built his own stuff from nothing. And in fact, Booker T. Washington told the first students, where the dorm? He said, we don't have it. We're going to build it right here. This is the university. This is some raw land. I'm telling you, if you take us and put us in a situation, we will begin to not depend on others and we'll depend on ourselves. And that is the best thing for us, because That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. We need to depend on ourselves. Nobody's going to help us. The government is not the answer. If it was, we'd have been straight by now. We're going backwards in the government. That's all I'm saying.
Alabama. I agree with Alabama, but my issue is I've got to start taking ownership of my own family before I take ownership of something outside of my family. I've got to take responsibility
if
of my own family.
If you can keep that singular, Tracy, we good. If you can just say you take care of your family as in the people you related to, but let's not make it a situation where you or I are responsible for Alabama's family, and say that if we don't take care of Alabama's family, then we somehow messing up. Then we're gonna have a problem.
But this is my issue. When I take care of my family, and when you take care of your family, then we can get together and start taking care of other families. And when I say that, when I say taking care of other family, it's not so much that we're giving them entitlements. But my first real career job was for the gardeners who owned Soft Sheen Products, and they were the makers of Carefree Curls and Optimum Relaxer. And if it had not been for them dealing with my crazy behind, I wouldn't be where I am today. And they had the people who were a part of the management system that understood the African American culture. And so they dealt with stuff that maybe a white owner and white management would not have dealt with. But they knew how to cultivate me into what I became. We no longer have those kinds of businesses anymore. And that put me into businesses with other black businesses, such as beauty and barber supplies. And they taught me, and we cultivated one another because we were a community. As large as the city was, as large as the country was, it was a network of community. We no longer have that, and we keep on going outside of our own to go get something, and we wonder why we can't get what we need. People do not understand who we are.
Yeah, Tracy, I think we all agree on that part. That wasn't the issue. The issue was whether or not we're good, we're going to return to segregation, and that'll make us better.
I think he used the wrong word for segregate. I think he used the wrong word for cooperation. It's not segregation.
I think he corrected himself, too.
He used the wrong word. It was a bad word for what he was trying to say. But we need to have economic development in our own community. We have people
Absolutely.
Come in here and try to put together a credit union. And we still can't get people to buy into it.
Yeah, what's going on with this?
Now we're all on the same page because that's my whole point, and one of my whole points. And you know, black folks do need to work together, and that's why it's important for black folks to work together politically. It's important for black folks to work together in a number of ways. And I don't want to just we need to work together.
But listen, I'm not going to work together with you. And let me say this. I'm not going to work together with black people who are crazy, who are selling other black people for their own common good. And that's the problem that I come up with. Hold on just a second. Eric, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, I wanted to ask you, what's going on with that credit union?
They still trying to raise money. They still trying
okay.
to get it together.
Because you had a guest on there from time to time to talk about it, and I was just wanting to follow up.
They'll be back next week. They'll be back next Thursday. But I'm just saying, it shouldn't take this long. It doesn't have to take us this long. I watch an old lady raise $80,000, and she's 80-some years old, from her phone. And we can't raise, and she did this within 5 months. But we can't raise $150,000 in 9 years.
Yeah,
and
that's sad. Yeah, I think that what lacks is there's no explanation to common black folks, if that's who your target audience is. I'm not sure. But this is what happens when you work together economically. This is why you need a credit union. If they don't know that they need a credit union, how are you going to raise the money? They don't really need it.
We don't listen. People don't, you know, to do something, it takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of cooperation because we're not always going to agree how we get things done. So sometimes I just got to yield. And even if I'm right, prove that I'm right, because I'll be wrong on, I'll be right on the other side. But when you don't follow my way, then I just quit.
And all you need is $150,000. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's not my, that's
good. So you can't, you tell me you can't find 150 people. You can't tell me you can't find 100 people. 150 people to take $1,000 and just send it and just put it in the savings account.
Okay, let me say it to you this way.
Unless it comes with a coach first.
I told him, let me get 100, I need 150 people to give me $111 every month for a year, and I can have it.
It better come with some Air Jordans. That's the problem.
Because our priorities are skewed.
Who's doing the recruiting here? That must be a problem. I think what it is, your problem is, it might not be what you're doing, but who's doing it. Because that's not a difficult task.
You know that. I know that. But I don't want to go into this. I'm just saying. You got to understand. But this is what goes on in our communities across the board. When I come out to Los Angeles, there used to be, you know, over in the Crenshaw district, there used to be several black banks over there.
Yes.
They're no longer there.
Yeah, a lot of banks. Well, you could take a lot of banks that existed and no longer exist. Chief among them, a lot of black banks. Thus, the power of the Federal Reserve and working with black folks. We already know that.
But again, this comes from, you know, we don't respect each other to love each other to get it done.
I we totally agree. But would you also agree with this? That if, let's say, I'm gonna use some examples just for purposes of example only and not for anything else. I'm gonna use an example. If you had Herman Cain and came to black folks and said, I want to raise $150,000 and start a bank, or if you had Al Sharpton came to the same black people and said, I'm gonna raise $150,000, I'm gonna raise a bank. Do you think that it might have a different result on who's asking? So I'm saying maybe
no.
the people who
no.
are
you no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You want me to tell you why?
Okay.
Herman Cain we wouldn't trust because he's a Republican.
Exactly.
So we ain't
that's
following him
no,
nowhere.
That's my point. Right, that's my point.
Al Sharpton,
hold on.
Al Sharpton, he ain't going to raise the money. He going to get other people to go get the money, and then he going to tell us how he got the money so he can control the masses. Because you have to understand that's what Sharpton does. Sharpton goes out.
I wasn't trying to make those specific.
So,
I'm just using examples.
You ask about the people, and I'm just telling you how they get it done.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
And so my issue is I need to be able to go to you and say, listen, I've had this idea for a very, very long time. It's been about at least 30 years. We need to have more grocery stores inside of the inner city.
Yes.
So I want to put together a almost like a Black Wall Street. To where everybody has the opportunity to buy into a share program. So that when you go out to the grocery store or you go to work for the grocery store, you actually own a piece of it.
Yes.
See, when I got a share of Coca-Cola, when I drink a Coca-Cola, I'm going to get a dime, you know, at least a dime once a year because I drink my own product and I own a piece of it.
Yes.
I think the same kind of network should happen inside of the community where people can buy into it.
We totally agree.
But the problem is getting us to come together for the institution of laying the groundwork because no one can do this alone. And when I said about Martin Luther King, they said that he was very, very weary and very, very depressed before he was assassinated. He was very, very down, and most people no longer were supporting him like they were. They thought he needed to go away and that his time had passed. And as soon as he started getting into areas of foreign policy and economics, then they took him out.
Exactly, and you'll find the same thing. So let's say let's run with this store idea, you and I, and then we need somebody who can be the spokesman or somebody who was credible in the community to pull this money together. And who has established as credibility? The people who the media, this is not an attack on the media, but the people who are, the media has anointed as the leaders. They have went to the NAACP or, you know, Al Sharpton or whatever, whoever you say, but somebody anointed them in the media. So they have the ear of the people. But if you go to NAACP, they never are going to make some kind of business attempt that says we're going to work together as black people to do something. Because the NAACP is not ran by black people. That's put together Jewish people. So they're not
you
never
know
going
that.
To come up. Yes, so they're never going to come up and say we're going to get together and do something to for the inner city black folks. That's not
so
how
they
work.
So why are we always following them? Right
because,
now, the NAACP called. Hold on, your African American senator, Tim Scott. They called him a dummy, being controlled as a ventriloquist.
They're probably accurate. They're probably accurate.
No,
that's
what I'm saying. Hold on, you said they're probably accurate, and you don't know who he is. They say the same thing about me. And they don't, you know who what they told you who he is, that you don't know who he is. And see, this is the issue. We go by what people tell us who people are. And if I go by what people tell me, I'll be a babbling fool. I need to know you. You need to know who I am. People think they know me. They don't know me.
Well,
you don't know me until you get
clear.
To know
it's
me
crazy.
And know what I'm getting, how I'm going to fight for you and stand up for you.
But there's a reason
why. Republican.
There's a reason why. The
because I'm Republican.
Flag loving, hold on. But listen, there's a reason why the Confederate flag loving, good folks of South Carolina put this Negro in position
no,
to do something.
No, that's not
there's
true.
There's a good reason.
You keep up. There is not a good reason that the good loving white people put these people in position. Sometimes some white people just want to do the right thing. After a while, they get tired, and they just want to do the right thing. If you think I'm here because black people put me here, you're sadly mistaken. But there's some white people out there who just want to do the right thing. And let them do it. And let us try to pull people that look like us and make them better so that they can stand on their own two feet and become productive. Because white people are now finding out that if you ignore black people, all they're going to do is drain the system. And yes, they may have a selfish motivation why they do it, because they found that they need to do something with it. But we need to capitalize on that movement. Because, yeah, they ignored us for years. Yes, we've been raped, we've been beaten, and we've been castrated. Yes, that's absolutely true. But they found out that because they ignored us and they thought we would just go away, all it's doing is draining the system. So now we need for these people to stand on their own two feet, get an education, and become productive citizens of the United States of America. Because right now, everybody's
that's
going down
rhetoric.
With the ship.
That's just rhetoric.
No, that's real.
That's not real. That's rhetoric. That's what they
feed
you.
That's
real.
That's the flaw. They feed you. That's garbage.
No, baby. Listen, they need to get all you people off of the welfare rolls because all they're doing is paying for people and no one's producing back into it and we're running out of money. 747, your mic is on.
Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure you were here. You know, it's surprising to me that we just finished celebrating Kwanzaa after Christmas, and the second principle of Kwanzaa is Kukuchakalia. That means self-determination. I can understand where Alabama is coming from because we should be able to determine what it is that we want to do with our life without letting someone else tell us how to do it. And I know what he means when he said that, to me, integration was one of the worst things that ever happened to us for the simple reason. We did not ask for integration. We asked for equal opportunity. And if we had had equal opportunity in our schools, if we had had equal opportunity in the lending process, we had our own businesses. We could have expanded those businesses, and those businesses would have hired us, and we could have been self-employed, and we could have been, like he said, the Chinese, the Mexicans, or anybody else who have their own town. We would have been able to employ our own and we wouldn't have to be worrying about all of this that we're worrying about. Now you jump from that and you jump to the credit union. Now I'm going to tell you what I think is wrong with the credit union. In this city, we have over 60 black churches. It is the ministers who wants to start a credit union. If they need 100, they went to a group and the group said, if you get $150,000, we will loan you $1,500,000. They have been for 7 years trying to get $150,000. They already have the money. Every Sunday morning, people pay tithes and offerings. They take care of the bills of the church, and they sit that money in a white-owned bank. If you want a credit union, you take that money. Each, say 10 churches could take $15,000, or 15 churches could take $10,000 out of the money they got in the bank. Go and get that money and get the money and start the credit union.
Bingo.
If you want black people to give you money for a credit union, then like you said, they should be selling shares to get it. Because once they get that credit union with your money, it's going to benefit the church. It's not going to benefit the community. The churches have never done anything within the inner city community with the money they got sitting in the bank. So why would you keep putting money into somebody who is not going to put it back into your community? Look at all the new churches we got on the corner, and look at the community around those churches. And even the ministers don't live there no more. They used to live in the parsonage next to the church, but
they moved to the suburbs.
Down, so they live out in the suburbs.
There
so that is why the credit union is not making it until the church decide that they're going to share on it in the money with the people. Nobody's going to put no money in no credit union.
Hey, listen, I'm
going to
take a break. Go ahead. I'll be right back.
So I'm gonna get off, but I just wanted to say that.
Ma'am, I think you're right on point. You're absolutely correct.
Exactly.
And I can understand what you're saying, because when we were in our own community, even our kids in school did better. But now we have integrated, and there is racism. I don't care how good you act in another person's business. They have the right to get rid of you or keep you. And the whim is on whether they like you. Why the woman scream? She could have had a medical problem. Anything could have happened. You didn't know. Did nobody go? I bet nobody went and asked her, what's the matter?
Yeah, Tracy never finished that story, so I don't know what was wrong with
her. I don't know either. I'm just saying that, you know, it could have been something that happened that made her scream. But
what were you saying?
Unless you go and ask, you would never know what it is.
Go on, Kavina.
The one problem I had with what she said. I applaud what she said about the churches and that's right on the money. But the idea that let's say the Chinese people and they do practice group economics, but they also practice capitalism, and that's when you go outside your front door and you walk down the street, you'll see a subway business, you'll see a Chinese food place, you'll see something, all these places. That and the Chinese people and the subway, they don't live there. They're practicing capitalism. That is, they go into your community, which is this is the black community. They go into the black community and they set up a gas station, a 7-Eleven, the donut shop, the subway station. They set up all these things and they take your money, and then they get it and then they send it back to the just like preachers. They go to the suburbs and they bring the money and the revenue back to their area. That's called capitalism. That's what, see, black, they, for whatever reason, black folks are just stuck on the idea of we need to practice group economics. Okay, that's a given. We need to practice capitalism. We need to go into other communities and get the money and bring it back to our community. That's the part they don't want to hear.
But other
communities. Hey, Tracy.
But
hello?
Other communities.
We're in commercial right now, so
but
Tracy's
other communities
not on.
Aren't going to let you open businesses in their community. That's why you should open it in yours, and that's
in your
why
community.
The Chinese kind
right.
of been
have,
your community
I, right.
is because
right,
you don't have a business there, and
they know you
will buy from them.
Right. So don't you think before we even have a discussion on that, shouldn't we be dealing with why in the heck we're not able to go in the Chinese place and put up a rib shack? Or why we can't go to the white
like
area
said,
and
the
put something
Chinese
up?
Put it up in our community, so if they come and put business in our community, we need to have a self-determination. We need to determine to take over our neighborhoods. That's the one thing that I agree with Malcolm X with. We should have control over them, over our community, over the economics, over the politics. We should be able to say who can come into our community. Just like if we did, we wouldn't have the drug problem here because we wouldn't let the people from outside of our community drop drugs inside of our community and give it to our kids. And we could do that. We could control stuff like that. And
right, because
you have
pride in your community.
Talk politics, economics. Because
I won't disagree with you. I had a question for you.
We will get nowhere. I don't care how astute you are in politics. If you don't have no money, if you can't lobby on down there in Washington D.C. On Capitol Hill, then all your knowledge means nothing. It's nothing but talk. And you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying. Talk,
ma'am.
Talk is cheap.
Yeah, you're a smart lady. You're making great points. I asked you and I asked Matt, let's run with that idea. Let's go with the idea. We're going to stop people from coming in my community. How do you enforce that? Who's stopping? How do you stop somebody from coming in and setting up business in your community? You explain it to me, Matt or the nice lady.
Well, you know what? First of all, like I keep hearing people talk about, we want to start a new Wall Street. When Wall Street was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the people that were in Wall Street were too far from coming out of slavery, and they knew how hard it was for them to be without money, so they scraped and they saved. We have, first of all, in order for us to do anything, we got to get TV out of our houses and our kids, or get our kids out in front of TVs and put a history book, a black history book in front of them and let them know from whence we came. Our problem is even the grown-ups in this era do not know their history. So they have adopted a culture that is
USOM 4347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM.
Michael Savage.
The number 347-945-5229, and I want to hear from you today. We brought up Malcolm X, and we brought up, I guess, Alabama would call in the first hour, and he brought in the word segregation, and he went back to the 60s and where we are today in the black community. And it's, I don't think we understand how our community affects the whole country and how we're being played as a community without knowing that we're being played in the political scheme of things. And so, Jeff, your mic is on. I don't know if you knew that.
Jeffrey. Apparently, he still doesn't.
Okay. Yes. He still doesn't. Matt, go ahead.
We were just talking during the break, and Kavina Mann asked a question after the nice lady you had on the phone said, and everything that she basically says I completely agree with. However, she did say one thing, and Kavina Mann asked a question about it. She said, we need to keep people from coming into our community. Kavina Mann, what were the exact words? I don't remember
yeah.
how.
Yeah, she was saying we need to stop other people from coming in to our community and setting up businesses. And I asked her, or Matt, if they could answer the question, how do you stop people from coming into your community and open up businesses? It's easy
I just want to say this. It's easy for them to stop us because all they got to do is redline. All they got to do is, like, not allow us to have a business loans. All they got to do is – that's easy for them to do. How do we stop the Chinese person from coming in and setting up a donut shop or the Arab person coming in and setting up a 7-Eleven or a gas station?
Covina.
How do we stop that?
Covina, man, you want me to tell you how we stop it? When they come in, don't go through it. But this is this is the problem that we have.
It's that simple.
Loans. Let me say it this way, and I'm stuttering, and I'm sorry. Loans don't make a business. So, being redlining, I mean, a lot of that has happened in the past, and Miss Pam is absolutely correct in what she said. And I cannot say, well, no, she's not, because yes, she is. But let me say this: when a business comes into your community and you support it, you affirm them being in your community.
Absolutely.
And our problem is, we don't support the people who are in our community, as I said a little bit earlier. When I own a cleaning business and you mess up my favorite suit, you don't have to go on Facebook and put down, don't go to Tracy's cleaning service because she jacks up my suit. Because when the white man who has a cleaning service or the Chinese place that has a cleaning service in your community loses your clothes, you take your clothes back there every week. And they may or may not pay you for the clothes that they lost. I've had pins stolen off my suits. And we don't tend to do that. We don't tend to cover in or be compassionate towards businesses of people of the same color. We're over demanding.
So you hit it right on the money. Easy answer. I knew. You know, you left in tones. You can quickly figure that out. Because that was just a trap question. You do not support it. So it's the same thing with what they're doing to us. They do not support us. That's what
they do
whole
support.
Point I've been trying to make for a guy saying
but Alabama, I'm sorry.
They do not
Covina,
like us.
Guess what? Go, Covina, man. They do support us.
Do.
We have business here local. Yes, we do. We have businesses here locally that are supported by the white community, the Chinese, and the Arab community that are black owned. And if you depended on black people to keep you in business, you would be out of business. And we have several businesses that way. And as a matter of fact, we have black businesses here that would like to hire black people to come and work for them, and they're having the same problem as white people. They just need people to come to work and do the job. Don't do drugs and get the job done. Because in today's society right now, I just need somebody to come and do the job and not give me a whole lot of drama.
So in other words, segregation didn't work.
Segregation integration did not work as it should have because it was put together wrong when it first started. The problem that we have to today is a manifestation of the problem that we had when it started. Integration, and when it started, was wrong when it came together. It is what it is. People were bought and sold, things were done, and we were not prepared to be integrated into the system. And now we see the manifestation of the integration problem. But it wasn't a bad idea, but now we have to go back and correct a lot of things.
Well, a lot of it was mandated through law.
Yes.
And so that's where Alabama was getting to when he was explaining it. Once you did that and you're forcing an issue, things tend to not fall into place the way they should.
Yes, I should be able to go into any McDonald's.
I would agree. If you did not force them, we would still be shuffling jobs and get some bones.
No, we wouldn't. That's
not
it. No,
we
wouldn't.
We don't want to force nothing.
No.
We don't want to force nothing. We don't want to go to
listen. Listen. Covina, man, listen to this. And I want you to understand what happened with integration. You had 700 white folks. I'm sorry. You had 700 black folks standing outside with a quarter for a cup of coffee, and you had 6 white people sitting inside your restaurant. Okay, it was a bad idea. I don't want you to come in here. But then when I started counting up my dollars, I said, well, you know, I can let all them people come in here and eat, and I can invite these 6 to my house. I can hire these 6, and that's what happened. And so the Miss Mims where we used to go drink our coffee every morning, we took our coffee back over to Bob.
If that's what happened, then why? What was the dogs all about? What was the dogs in the water holes all about?
The dogs were all about, they didn't want you black men integrating with their white women.
Okay, there you go.
That's what the dogs were about. The dogs, you have to realize, when men went overseas during World War II and they were in Germany, the white women thought that all black men had tails like monkeys because that's what they were told by the white GIs. You got to understand how the games that were played.
I more than understand. But the question is, if according to you, they added up their nickels and said, I can hire the people because I got 700 people standing outside my business, why did they send in the dogs in the water hose? Why were they beating people over there? Why were they marching for the right to vote? They got beat up.
It was because they know that your power is in the vote. Our problem is we don't understand that the power is still in the vote and they're still manipulating the vote. See, you got to understand. The reason why they didn't want you to vote is because they didn't want you to understand the power of the vote. Today, they don't care if you vote or if you don't vote because they just want to control your vote. And they do.
They control your vote. That seems to be the one thing they continue to do
right?
every
no, no.
single day.
No, no, no.
Still trying
anytime,
to fight for the right to vote every
anytime,
day.
Anytime you vote for a person who does not have your best interest at heart and they continue to not do what you need to do and they do not hold you accountable, your schools are still demolished, your economic system is still in poverty, and you're still not going anywhere and you continue to vote for the same people, they control your vote. So now they don't care if you vote or not because your vote is a wash. Because they still control you.
The Supreme Court has even said, no, we care about how these people vote. That's not even true. Covina, man,
you're still voting Democrat, aren't you? Case closed. Go ahead, Bianchi. How are you, sweetie?
Hello. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, it's awful here today. But you know, you talk about that integration. I say it's awful cold here. But you talk about the integration.
It's cold here, too.
They had, I remember, they used to have a thing where Jews was not allowed to use the hospitals that the white had. And you know what they done? They built their own hospital. Right. Here, a Jewish hospital complex. I remember they had signs, and every now and then.
Bianchi, can you say Cedar Sinai, one of the best hospitals in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I don't know of it, but I imagine it is. But I know here we have
Jewish
hospital.
It is a Jewish-based hospital, and they built their own, and now we all go to it.
They used to have signs on buildings that said no Jews, dogs, or no colors, no Jews, and no dogs allowed. And guess what they done? They built their own housing complexes and so forth. So, integration, I think, was a terrible thing the way it was carried out. In many cases, it was forced, especially with the highway system, because when African Americans used to have their own towns, when they came through with the highway system, there was no off-ramps into their town.
And they took your land if they wanted it. They were good at taking good land.
You still see that going on today with the public schools. You have all black school districts, and there's no reason in the world why come these districts should be failing the way they are. The direction that they go in is always dictated by somebody else. We cow down and bend over and without any resistance. There's plenty of examples of success story where we continue to go down them failed avenues.
You're right. You are so right. And whose fault is it? Is it theirs or is it ours now?
Well, I would say it's about 85% our fault. And those faults lie along different categories. Of course, if the percentage will switch back and forth one way, you know the issue about money is really not an issue because when you look at the average daily allocation per child in the inner cities, they're higher than in the outlying areas, in the rural areas, which is all white. Now, granted, there are some socioeconomic situations that go on in the black community, but they can be addressed, and there are examples where they have been addressed in other areas, and the children are doing a whole lot better. Surely they're not doing as worse.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know that in Youngstown, you know about our schools, you know we're at the bottom. Do you
know that
it costs $8,000 to go to YSU, and it and Youngstown City Schools spend $17,000 in the inner city, and our schools are at an F level?
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what?
Yes, ma'am.
The problem, someone was talking about the schools, the problem in the inner city schools is we have kids that have been labeled as ADHD or whatever it is. They put them in special classes, and because they put them in special classes, they spend that money to have people to come in there to teach them, and that's where the cost goes up at. When they talk about going into, like they say, you can go and you can go to open enrollment. Well, a school that's in the suburbs that are teaching their kids are not going to take kids that have special problems or kids who are diagnosed with special problems. Because I read an article that said that ADHD or whatever it is they say kids have, there is no medical way that you can see, that you can tell that a kid has it. It was brought into being by a show of hands by psychologists who wanted to make money. So they decided that the kids would have that disease. They sent teachers to school to know how to teach this disease that they gave them. And to me, what it is in the inner city, it was only, I think, in the last year that they start putting playgrounds back in the school for young kids so they could go outside and run around and get rid of all that stored-up energy they had that would make them fidget and move and talk and get around in school. But
Ms.
they
Pam,
gave it to them. But you are
discipline.
Talking, like I said, they spend only $8,000 and you can go to Youngstown State University for a year. But it costs $17,000. That's what they put in the inner city here. And yet black kids, which comprise 67% of the kids in the city of Youngstown, with all new schools, we still are at the level. Our rating this year was F. We're at the bottom in the state of Ohio.
Now,
Ms. Pam?
Yes.
Go ahead. You are right about everything that you said. Absolutely.
Ooh, is she? Absolutely.
Yes,
she is. Ms. Pam, you are right on point. However, I'll expand that by saying when you're talking about a public school system, and I can tell you from dealing with my school system, which isn't inner city, it's suburbs, those ADHD, you know, what they're diagnosing these kids with ADHD is rampant here too. And it's unfortunate, and you're right, it's all about getting money in for a fictitious disease that they will diagnose any kid with just for that extra money. And it really is destroying not just the inner city, but it's spreading out to the suburbs now.
And all children need to get past ADHD and ADD is a lot of love, attention, and discipline.
And exercise.
That's
right,
discipline. Exercise the whole creative ways. Absolutely. Absolutely. But
well,
if you don't have parents,
that our children are bored.
They are bored. The question is when we go unboard them. But you kind of it's kind of hard to unboard them when everybody's working trying to chase a dollar down and still not getting ahead, frustrated because they're doing it, and we still don't want to pay a person their worth.
But Tracy, in Youngstown, black unemployment is at the highest level it's ever been. So with our black kids, everybody is not working. They're just doing
Pam,
what the kids do when they're home.
But Ms. Pam,
they're sitting in front of that idiot box, and they don't have time to go to school to see what's wrong with their kids or
but
how
Ms. Pam,
they can help.
I don't. But Ms. Pam, the problem is, who's gonna help the parent teach the parent how to be a parent, even if you're unemployed? Unemployment. And then hold on, I gotta pick up some more calls. Go ahead, Jeff. He keeps on calling. Private caller, your mic is on.
Tracy, that's what the parent student union here is about.
Pam, but then enough of them are not in it.
But we can't go in their homes and pull them from in front of the TV and try
But enough of them are not in it. Ooh. Yeah, listen, private caller, turn your radio down or whatever, wherever you are, because there's a lot of feedback. Your mic is on. Private caller. Okay.
Hello?
Private caller.
Hello? Hello? Hold on. Hello? Who's that?
Yeah, this
you're
is
on.
How you doing? This is Mike. Yeah.
Hey, Mike,
okay.
How you doing?
I was just listening. Pretty good. Well, Tracy, you're making a lot of points, but see, the teachers don't even want to live in the same community that they teach in. The police officers don't want to live in the same community they put. Huh?
Why would they?
Why wouldn't they?
Why would they want to live in
that community
when that community has nothing to offer?
Right, but see, well, I understand that, Tracy, and I would never take nothing from a parent. But see, if you're a teacher and you already know the zip code that you're going in and you already know the problems, right, and you know what you're facing, don't complain about it because you already know as an educator. So what ways are you going to come up with, what ways, because you already know how to pronounce this, what ways are you going to come, creative ways you're going to come up with to make sure that those children don't be bored or try to get some creativity? Because right now we have the Internet, these video games, like that lady said, is in competition with our child's minds.
Let me say this. I've got to take the sense of the teacher. Most teachers that I run into are concerned about the education of the student. It is the bureaucracy and the politics of the school district that causes them not to be able to teach your child effectively.
That's the truth.
Well, what
it is
you mean
not the teacher.
Have hands in our curriculum. You have about 10 entities that control our children's curriculum, and it's all chaos and confusion.
And that's what I'm saying. That is the bureaucracy and the school board.
It's not no 10 entities. A state school board merely sets the minimum standards.
No.
Your curriculum can – what are you saying, no? Read. Go to any state constitution. Go to the state constitution and read it.
No. Watch this.
I ain't watching nothing.
I'm
listening.
I'm a label, okay? But when I say what I say, I want you to visualize. So watch this. You got the federal government, right, the Board of Education. You got the authors of the books. They're still parents argue over the authors or how they write books, so that's a curriculum. You got the PTA meeting. They choose the books. You got the school board, okay? You got the media. All of these different entities have a control and try to impact the curriculum of our children.
The PTA meetings do not choose books.
It does.
Let me say
hold
this.
Up.
It does
hold
not.
No. No, hold on. Mike. Okay, hold it. Mike.
I'm speaking the fact. That's what we have
to say. No, Mike. I'm a former board of education member. I know. The school, you got to understand, every state is governed primarily by your state board of education and your local board of education. Those are your two, and your revised code or your laws that come from the legislature.
So why
that's
do you
how
say about no child left behind? Then
no child. Hold on. Okay, can I? You want no child left behind was a mandate that if you take federal dollars, you had to go by the mandate.
Right.
If you did not,
and I know
did not
take, don't
right?
take federal dollars.
If you do not take the money from the federal
curriculum behind it, though,
Mike,
you know, no, it did not have curriculum behind it. What it had was it had guidelines behind it, not curriculum.
Okay, and those guidelines control the curriculum. Look, we're saying the same
thing. Those guidelines did not control the curriculum. Those guidelines controlled who was going to teach what and what was going to be the ratio of what, and it was a lot of minutiae.
You just said curriculum. I know the definition
but that's
of
not,
curriculum. Listen
but that's not curriculum. The curriculum is...
Okay, I'm done. All right.
The federal government... Trace, let me explain this to him. The state constitution gives the local community the control of the curriculum, not the state board of education. Since the state constitution, Mike, if you shut up for a minute, maybe you can understand something. Well, on your show, you be cutting people off when they do what you do.
Hey, go ahead, Pionki. Go ahead.
Now, as I said before, the state constitution dictates, gives the authority to the local community to set their curriculum whatever they want it to be. The state board of education say it can be whatever they want it to be, but it has to be able to meet these minimum standards. Federal government come in with, before they had No Child Left Behind, crazy, they had Goals 2000. Back
they had
around
the
in 2000. And they don't mean anything, especially if you don't take federal dollars. And also they can't mess with curriculum because the state already gives the people the power of the curriculum.
The problem with the curriculum is we won't change how we do things based on popular opinion. Going back to where I started the show in the beginning, we make decisions based on what people are going to think of me politically and not based upon what's the right thing to do. There is no reason why we as Americans have an agricultural calendar for our children to go to school 9 months and be off for three. Very few of our children right now are not sitting inside of an area where they're actually going and planting and harvesting grain.
And another point, with black districts, you have, and I can name, and I have sit in classroom and videotape a total of 6 DVDs worth, and I got to send a copy of them out to a school in California next week in Los Angeles. But you have districts where black children, all black districts where the school districts are off the charts in academics. My question is this, why not mimic what these districts are doing?
I don't know. Again, it goes back to they really don't want you to know as much as they want you to know.
Can
and this
I
is not a black thing.
That?
This is not a white thing. This they don't want you to know. Go ahead, Ms. Pam.
The reason why we don't mimic is because you have to know the history of the state of Ohio. The state of Ohio sent in a commission to take over our schools because they were at the bottom. And what they said to the commissioner was, once you get those kids to continuous improvement, your job is finished. Continuous improvement is a C level. We have schools in the suburbs that are at an A level. Why would you spend all of this money and send in a commissioner, and we have spent over $250 million in the last 15 years, and our kids are still at an F level? The commissioners have been here for 3 years, and each year, instead of going forward, we're going backwards. Like he said, we, you know what, school system was not made for us. When they put public schools in, it was because they had abolished slavery and they were bringing foreigners in that couldn't speak the language to do the work that the slaves were doing, and they couldn't speak the language. So they were put in place just to teach the foreigners enough education so that they could work for the rich white people that were in this country and not have a problem speaking. Because we were freed, then they gave us schools, but they gave us segregated schools. And that's why I said, and when they were marching, it wasn't about integration. It was about getting schools that were up to par with the white schools so that they could teach us better. We got the leftover books. Alabama knows about that because I'm from the state of Alabama. And I remember
Pam.
I was a kid. I'm 81 years old, so I'm speaking from experience. When I was a kid, we never got a book until the white schools got the book, got new books. Then we got their old books. So
and they don't.
Right.
And as an addendum, you need to also understand that a lot of times they gave the books in black areas misinformation inside of those books.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah,
there
was misinformation, especially when you read a book that got Ronald Reagan a president, the Soviet Union still exists. And, you know, when we came out of slavery, we started our own school. It was that one liberal organization that talked black folks out of leaving their schools and going to a public school system.
And
I can't think of the name of it for the best of me.
I tell you, the government made it like that because when we were asking for equal opportunity, they decided if we give them black folks equal opportunity, we know they're not as stupid as we say they are. They will surpass us because of their culture.
And
so
it was about competition.
Was they decided we will integrate them into our schools, then we can dictate at the level that they learn, and that's what they're doing till this day.
And let me say this, just as an addendum. And until we start teaching what we just said, because, see, I'm tired of people going to school and getting bad information about a lot of things. And this, and I have to continue to say this. It is no longer the black man's problem in the inner city schools. When you go to college now, they teach you what they want you to know, not what you need to learn so that you can become innovative. They do not want you to become independent thinkers. They want to control your thought, control your information, and control what you know so that they can control what you do.
That's
they do not want you to know anything outside of that. That's why when we talk about having school choice and being able to homeschool your children, they don't want that because they need to control what you're teaching your children. Because they do not want people that are going to ask questions. They just need followers who are going to be robotic.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Matt?
I just want to go back a little bit to what Pianchi and the last caller were talking about. In a lot of ways, I see them as both right. Pianchi is absolutely correct about what the state constitution says and what your local school boards are allowed or supposed to be allowed to consider the curriculum and such. However, a lot of change in definition as far as the word curriculum comes to mind. And unfortunately, from what I've seen, these things aren't running the way they're supposed to be according to state constitutions. Common Core is by definition because it shows districts, school districts, how to teach children and what to teach children. It's more than just the minimum standards they need to know. It goes well beyond that.
It's adopted in by your local board of education, by anything else.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay, you're right. You're right.
And when they say minimum, I mean, a school, you can have your children at the fifth grade studying advanced calculus. I know schools that do that at the sixth grade. But the state says there's a minimum that you – if you go by the state's minimum, you won't take algebra until you get in college. If you go by the will of the people and wanting their children to do this, that, and the other, you can have college courses in the fifth grade in your elementary school. And you have people around the country that are doing this. I can point out schools that's where this is happening. All black schools with the same social economic condition as Cleveland, same social economic condition as Southside Chicago and North St. Louis, Missouri.
Now, hold on, Pianchi. South Carolina, your mic is on. Okay, good morning. Well, he was there. 843, your mic is on.
Any help today?
Hey, it might be Blog Talk. You never know. Mike, you still there? Okay.
I know where you keep children all in one system. You get when black people are polled overwhelmingly. I'm talking about 70th percentile. They say they want school choice. They want charter school. They want home school. They want full vouchers. They want to be able to put their child where they want them to be. My grandson couldn't go to a historical black university and college. Why? Because none of them offer gas and petroleum engineering. That's what he wants to be.
Hey, I'm with you on that. I'm just saying we keep on doing that, but we don't understand that. We get some serious issues coming in. Hey, private caller, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy,
is that me? Is that you, Bonnie? Hold on. Private caller, your mic is on.
Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah, Tracy. Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick. Yeah, you're right. But if you listen to what you're saying and how we need to teach our miseducation of our children, it still is about the curriculum.
You're right, it's about the curriculum, but you were asking about where it came from.
Well, I want to ask Pianchi, and see, I agree with vouchers, but see, when I look at a school, see, I just don't look at the building. The school is actually the teachers, the administrators, and the students interacting with each other. Forget the building.
See, sometimes that book, sometimes the teachers may say, close that book, and then they may teach another way or that structure. So I'm just saying we have to look at everything when we talk about, because I think sometimes we just look at one aspect and just blame that one. I think we should look at everything. That's
Mike,
all I
want. Hold on, South Carolina. Mike, this is the issue. We just had an election for the Board of Education this past November. And the quality of people who ran for the Board of Education and the actual people who were concerned about the people who were going to run for the Board of Education and the people who elected the people for the Board of Education, I'm not trying to be facetious, but you had people who don't even know what the job does or how to get there, who actually almost won and may have won. That's not going to be good for your children, because we sit on the sidelines and don't care.
You know what else, Tracy?
What's that?
If a state can come in and dissolve a local school board, why in the hell can't the people that voted their school board in recall them? You can't even recall a state school board member.
I know. I heard that. I found that out.
Well, shouldn't the PTA meeting have control over that?
But no, PTA is nothing but an outside organization that has no governance at all.
Well,
they don't even have any meetings.
Because the PTA should be have their input in choosing those books in the curriculum of
no,
their children.
No, no, they should. They can't. Because well, they're not written into law.
Okay, so how are you bringing the parents and the teachers together with the curriculum? Because the parents is part of the community too.
That's where your Board of Education comes in. Because remember, you select your Board of Education, and they're supposed to do what you want them to do. That's how that's supposed to work. The problem is it's not working right, because we haven't figured out who's on our Board of Education, and we're very, very lax in the people that we put there. Go ahead, South Carolina. I want to let you in.
Listen, you know, one of the things that I've noticed down here is you can't teach from an aspect or from the perspective of emotion, and that's what I'm seeing in our school here. You know, people are using emotion to teach. When you're dealing with teaching, you're dealing with facts. There is no gray area, and when they inject emotion into it, and I feel sorry for little Johnny because he doesn't have this, and he doesn't have that. And you can't teach that way. Little Johnny may not have it, but that doesn't mean that little Johnny can't learn, or you should dumb down the system to help little Johnny, because dumbing it down only hurts him. I mean, we've seen that several times.
I was on the Board of Education. Hold on, Mike. Let me throw this into the mix. I was on the Board of Education, and while I was there, they actually voted to allow students to play football if they only had a 1.9 GPA. And
that's
lost my mind. Huh?
That is crazy.
I'm with you with the crazy. The question is, why did we allow that to happen? So do we have something called socialized advancement? So because they didn't want you to be too big when you went into the school district, we would socialize promotion. You would go to the next grade because you were older, even if you didn't know better. We still allow children to go into school at 5 or 6 years old, everybody in the same classroom, everybody in the same grade, no matter what they know, no matter what they don't know, and try to teach them all at the same level. It doesn't work that way anymore. We still have 9 months of school and 3 months off in most areas, like they're outside plowing the field in the summertime. We need to understand that we are living in a society that's living on antiquated ways of getting things done and wondering why we're not getting anything. Why in the heck do we not have where children can actually tap into some things over the summertime and get some extracurricular activities on the Internet? We can do things we can have all kinds of innovative ways to make children learn and to grow. But because we're sitting on the sidelines and because nobody cares about education, the people that should, and we don't want the parents to be involved like they should, We're not telling anybody anything because they're dumbing us down, because all they want us to do is memorize a whole bunch of nonsense and then regurgitate it and then come out and do what we told them to do. And we don't see a problem in it.
You know, there used to be a day where in the summertime, like what my father did, they used to take their kids to work with them every once in a while, or take them out back and build a shed, or you know, other things of that nature, where they were able to put their mathematical skills and their and learn about what real work is about, and do that in real time, in real fashion. You don't see that happening anymore either. I do it with my kids, but, you know, it goes past.
But who has time for that?
Well, who has time for kids then? You know, if you don't have the time to put in to invest, and investing in your kids means more than money. It means your time.
But we don't. We haven't learned that process yet. We don't even teach our children respect anymore. There's no way that a classroom teacher doesn't have control of their classroom and can't reprimand the children in the classroom. So now I can cuss my mama and the teacher and the principal out and get away with all of it. There's no reason why I would buy my child a pair of pants that was too big, that would bust a sag, to send them to school when I know it's against the rules that they're going to get sent home. Because a child that gets sent home is not learning. We need to understand the mindset of what's going on here in America across the board. And until we change that, then we'll always be where we are. We'll always be talking about it. Hey, Bonnie, how are you today?
I'm well. And you guys sound like you're doing okay. Everybody's healthy. I wanted to bring up the fact that the other thing that's happening in schools, and no one talks about it, is the increase of individual education plans. The school districts make more money for a student that gets a diagnosis and does that and gets put in a program where they're actually held back. It's discriminatory. And, you know, I have a child with a special needs and does have a diagnosis. But I really need a parent advocate almost every time I walk into the school. And that's just unheard of. When did our mothers need their girlfriends or their sisters or their mother to go with them to enter into the school? You know, it's a contract between the parent and the school district to educate the child. And it's a law to educate children in their district. But schools make more money when a child gets that diagnosis.
Well,
and
I bet you,
increase in that.
I bet you when it comes time for you to vote for a bond issue, you can go in that school real easy and vote, can't you?
Well, our last school board election was taking place the day after, to elect our new school board. This is our local school district, one of the local school districts I'm talking about. And it was 3 days after that election was held, one of the others, which we as local people and taxpayers here didn't even know this person was going to resign. It was kept a secret till 3 days after the election. Another school board member was going to retire. And because they retire before the next election, it's going to take a little longer, they they apply. And so the school superintendents and others in the realm of things just choose somebody.
No, that's not how it works, Bonnie. That's not how it works. I resign.
That's how it happens.
No, hold on. No, that's not how it happens.
It might
be
in another state, though.
No, she's in the same state I'm in. She's in Ohio. Bonnie, what's happened?
The election.
Hold on, Bonnie. Let me tell you how that happens. What happens is if I resign, retire, and or quit becoming a school board member during my term, what happens is the people who are sitting board members choose who's going to be their board member.
Right.
Not the superintendent.
Well, he's in the meeting, is what I'm saying.
He's not involved in that at all. He has no say. He has nothing to do with it. It's supposed to be a public appeal.
Maybe I misinterpreted, because exactly what I meant to say was exactly what you said. But you
the
can't tell me 3 days
peers.
After the election, the school board, school district, superintendent, could make an announcement in the local paper that that person was going to retire. They didn't know that 3 days before, where the community actually vote. What did you say?
Yeah, they knew it.
Oh, right.
They knew it. But let me also throw this in. I said the same thing about the sales tax that's on the ballot this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm probably going to get in trouble by this, and they're going to fuss at me, but that's just too bad. We have a sales tax that's getting ready to go on the ballot in May, and they want it to pass. And the people, the Board of Education, the Board of Elections gave raises to its employees, and they did it in a public meeting and openly so everybody knew, so that you know that you're going to be giving these people a raise. They're mad at us because we gave them a raise, but nobody talks about the raise that didn't get put in the paper that everybody got behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we've given raises to everybody up front, they're mad at us because now what's being exposed is that everybody got a raise, and they didn't want everybody to know that everybody got a raise.
You're right.
So we lie to the public all the time.
And that's going on. And that's another problem with the system, too.
How much is going up?
Three
the sales tax. How much is the sales tax going up in Ohio?
They want it to go up from 7% to 7.5%.
Wow.
The major thing with school boards is the fact that the public cannot recall them. That is a major
thing.
True. You can recall her. And the fact that a state board who is influenced by all sorts of concerns can come in and dissolve a local school board. Well, why not the voters? They recognize that the members are not doing anything, or they're not doing what they should be doing. Should not the members of the community who voted these school board members to the board, should they not have the right to to remove them when they feel like it's time that they need to go?
Hey, I found that out recently. Someone called me about they wanted to do a recall on a school board member and found out you can't recall school board members. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand that. And I don't know why the legislation has that. And that's just, and I know that it goes by state, but I know in our state we can't recall school board members either. So why would they do that? You can recall the governor, but you can't recall your school board member.
Tracy, do you hold an office in the school district that you grew up in and graduated from?
No, not now.
Okay. Okay.
I'm on the Board of Elections now, not on the school board anymore, but I was a member of the Youngstown City School Board.
Well, I first started listening. You were on the school board, I thought.
No.
Or you had been.
I had been. And it was a great experience. But it's a great experience of learning. And I will say this, people need to get more involved because people don't care who they elect for school board until there's a problem. And people need to start caring who they actually elect because you don't want Elmer Fudd to be on your school board. And right now we're electing Elmer Fudds, people that have no business being on a school board, to a school board, and that's how you get corruption. And corruption can be legal corruption as well as illegal corruption.
They also have friends that know about contracts that are coming up for bids, and then that they're all friends of one another. Yeah.
It's far beyond that. It's just
right.
People who don't need they should not be there at all.
Right.
At all. Should not be elected to office, but because we are very, very passive in our attempt to be involved politically as a nation. We go and vote for the president, but we don't vote for the school board. But the school board sees your children 180 days every year. They govern your children and what they learn, and we don't pay attention to that. And that goes back to misinformation and miseducation that we have in our communities, both black and white,
Tracy,
rich and poor.
You have been saying since I've been coming on this show that all politics is local, and your local politics affect you more than your national politics does. Now, your school board, and like you said, they're holding basically the kids, your children, in their they got their future in their hands, and you're going to just elect anybody willy nilly onto the board? No, that's crazy. That's
crazy. Listen, hold on, you guys, go ahead. I'm going to take a break. You listen.
I'm going to read the state of Missouri, the law, on what school did. It says the State Board of Education shall develop written curriculum frameworks that may be used by school districts. Such curriculum framework shall incorporate the academic performance standards adopted by the State Board of Education pursuant to subsection 1 of this section. The curriculum framework shall provide guidance to school districts, but shall not be mandates for local school boards in the adoption of or development of written curriculum as required by subsection 4 of this section. That's the state law.
So it's optional.
Right. They can only give you, they can only provide guides. They can set minimum standards, which
you
can jump over on 1 foot.
Federal money, that grant money for like Race to the Top and you know, any of those hidden, as we know, they are, what is it? South Carolina, help me. What is that? Common Core.
Common Core, and, International Baccalaureate.
Something 21. What is it? Agenda 21.
Agenda 21.
It's all related. So what happens when our school districts and the people that are elected sit there? You know, lots of times it's not even announced. It's something you have to memorize, like when your meetings are taking place and what's going to be happening. You have to have permission to even speak at a meeting. And, you know, when you have that going on and they take the federal money, their hands can become, your school district can become very tied into that grant money.
Well, you see, really quick,
see,
if
you're
I can
making
answer
my
that.
Point, man. See, but, no, well, can I just say something real quick? See, man, you're making my point that I made earlier, and it's obvious. When you talk about curriculum and you look up the meaning of curriculum, there's so many different entities, not just the school board, that controls the curriculum at the end of the day, if you look at it. So when you just said that grant money, that federal, I guarantee you that the federal government, like you said, their hands tied because they're trying to control the curriculum, the guidelines of what should be administered to the kids.
Now,
that's,
sir,
all I wanted to say,
ma'am. All right, hold on. Sir, you're right, and Pianchi was right earlier,
yes,
too, saying that that's not the way it's supposed to be. Okay, so you're
well,
both
I'm
right.
I'm not saying it's the way it's, I'm just saying
it's the
way
it
is.
Is what you're
right,
saying, right.
Right, now we can come up with a solution. I'm just saying that, I mean, that's the way it is because we have to identify the problem first.
Now let me add
that's
this.
That's all I'm saying.
Let me add this. We run into a huge problem when we start involving teachers' unions and things of that nature, because I've noticed in my school district when they start clouding the path, okay, and saying, I mean, they were telling us that, you know, things like Common Core, we have International Baccalaureate in our school system and the whole deal. And these teachers are completely lied to by these wizards of smart that sit on the school board that are unelected, like the superintendent and such, completely lied to. And when the community asks to talk to the teachers one-on-one to say, what do you really think about this? The teachers union steps in and says, you know what? We don't even want to discuss this. And they shut the teachers down. And that,
well, that's another
Matt,
problem.
I know for a fact that our local, the one school that I'm referring to, and I have a child, one in one school and one in a different school, completely different school districts, okay? But the one I was referring to, the superintendent has been known for the last 25, 30 years. He's a man about my age, a little older, has been known for writing grants and developing grants and applying for grants. He is our superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do that for certain programs. The federal government can't come in and effect a whole school. Now, this Common Core is something new. But
right.
Once, if a federal government, this is what they usually do. We give you funds. We want you to put ROTC in your school. And it will have a soldier in there, a commander or something that has ROTC classes, cheering with dressed up in a military uniform, march and do drills and so forth and so on. But the fact is that local board, that local community has control, is supposed to have control, according to the law, over what the children are being taught. Now, if you give up that control by not going to meetings and being assertive and so on and having the power to recalls school board members, then, of course, all that goes out the window.
Well, Bianchi, I was told right to my face, right to my face.
Good morning, Washington Square.
I was told that
I'm doing pretty good.
Districts Stop. Have attorneys.
Stop. You're
working.
That's what I was told.
And you know another thing too, those
yeah.
schools, those teachers unions are demonic also,
yes,
because
they are.
The teachers,
I agree.
Especially when it comes down to African Americans, because what they do
I
is
sure
that
will.
You may have a movement
okay. right.
to get mm-hmm. something passed, whether it's vouchers or this or that. Those school teachers unions, those teachers unions will take their dues,
yeah, hold on.
And they would influence your state representative in order to not represent the people, but to represent them. They would threaten representatives that we would run people against you, run a candidate against you, if you go along with this idea.
That's true, because I've seen several construction, and also I've also seen the men that run businesses that are now having their opportunity opened up to the local oil drilling that's in our area. They are all connected, every single one of them.
So
and
the
they
unions
also
are
state representatives.
Okay. So the unions are trying to control the curriculum in their own way.
No, the union.
The
unions
right.
control. They control it all. The problem is
right.
you're allowed. And when I say the unions, you've got people who are. You know, we always talk about the ghost people, the people that you don't see. Like the one percenters, you don't see these people.
Mm-hmm.
They indoctrinate people with misinformation. They don't teach.
Yes.
Even the teachers don't understand that they're being controlled by an outside party.
They do
people
now.
People need to
I don't think all of them,
Matt, because I have a girlfriend who retired as a special needs teacher,
mm-hmm.
and when I told her about Agenda 21 just this past summer after we were having lunch, she was absolutely shocked. And she does substitute teaching, and she says it's just amazing how
yeah,
she
right.
her
and
eyes
under,
have been opened.
I understand what I'm saying is that a lot of the way things have been running in the school systems, and even though the teachers union was telling these teachers, no, you're not allowed to talk about this, that, or the other thing, the teachers used to be on board with it. They were all for Common Core. They were all for all these programs that were trying to sneak in. Now, at least in my community, that it's happened, and they're starting to see, you know, just how ineffective these programs are.
Right.
I can't tell you a teacher who's completely not against it. They're not allowed to do anything about it. Right.
Yes.
But see,
this is my issue.
Majority, a lot of them, you know, Matt, maybe in your area, but a lot of them still don't know. I mean, you know, again, there, as I said earlier, there are a lot of teachers who just want to teach the student, and they're passionate about teaching the student. But the bureaucracy and what goes on inside of the school and the buildings and the politics that they have to put up with takes away from the learning and teaching environment that they have. And then we will not give teachers control over their own rooms.
And Matt,
right, so they can't
no,
be creative,
do the research
right?
and see who's
is
do
that,
the research and see
that,
who's monetary benefiting from Common Core. The same old names pop up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
And I believe that.
So is that restricting their creativity? Would that
no,
restrict their
no,
creativity?
The politics of the policy of the boards of education and the administration is restricting the creativity of the teacher. Not only
well,
that,
that's one of the problems.
But not only that, just like Ms. Pam said, you have children who need to have gym. They need to have creative processes. We are trying
right.
to treat our children like robots. They no longer have art.
Right. They
no
course.
Longer have.
I mean, I have to. Right.
Our
they
teachers.
No longer,
our teachers here now, because of all these programs, are not allowed to teach anymore. And that's what
no.
it's a sudden realization to them that, oh, my God, when I went to school with the passion that I had to teach these children, I'm not allowed to do.
Well, have you ever seen a curriculum? A curriculum is situated where Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on, is that they have three or four items that they have to present to the class. Then they have a teacher's aid material where it's like questions and answers on those things that they taught. Once that is done, they go to the next day, then the next day, then the next day. When the principal come by, they tell the teachers, stick to the curriculum.
And let me say this, and this is another problem that I have when you talk about curriculum and when you talk about things on this order. I, as a student, I may go ahead of the classroom when it comes to what you're teaching me this week because I went home and read, and I got that first part, so I went all the way to the next chapter. The teacher will come back and tell me, well, we're not on that one right there. So I've got to sit down and twiddle my thumbs until you catch up with where I am.
No, you need
You
need to put that student into a special reading class is what
That's
you need
right.
to do. That's
what
they're doing.
That's what the school wants you to do. Yeah.
But there, and again, I need to, because everybody does, all children learn differently. And we need to quit trying to teach our children in a cookie-cutter method. It's bad.
You said the secret word there, Tracy, that I have found that I've been fighting as I've been watching and raising children. That cookie-cutter child syndrome is the thing I have been bucking against all of my life as
Absolutely.
A mother, grandmother. I've done it my entire life. It just isn't right. It just isn't
see,
right.
See, I have no problem with,
they most
see, I have no
do.
Problem with an athlete if he gets 7 out of 10 questions right. He can play football. I have no problem with that. Some people say he has to get 8 out of 10 right. But it has to be a standard. A set of 2.0, I have no problem with that. But go ahead and meet that standard. You see what I'm saying?
Well, in college, they do.
Because
but a 1.9?
Be an A and B student.
No. Well, a 1.9 is...
They should have made it 2.0. They crazy.
No,
Mike,
it should be
my
high school is 3.0. You can't play no sport. Well, here it is. At the University of Missouri, I visited them about 2 weeks ago. Those football players or those athletes that's at the University of Missouri at the college level have a tutor assigned to them. The same thing should apply at high school. If you're going to play sports, if the high school wants you to play sports where they are having a gate receipts and all that stuff and publicity, then those athletes that's out there running up and down the field, training and so on, they should have tutors assigned to them to make sure that they are meeting their academic requirements.
Listen, if you teach me in the third grade and you instill good habits of studying and learning from kindergarten to third and fourth grade, I may not need a tutor in high school.
Tracy, can I tell you a true story that I was a tutor. I was a volunteer tutor for American history. And it was in the junior high level, 7th and 8th graders. There were several young men who were athletes, and they were falling behind. They had to be tested, and then they were put into what some people might it was not called Title I, but I'm sure it fell in a category of that, and it was funding. I was never paid. I never had materials paid for me. I took their resources that they had or their notes or whatever and maybe helped them redefine their notes or study them with them. There were two more athletes who, seeing the grades coming up and that the other ones were talking, because they talked to each other. You know, they're all on the field together. So they came to me at lunchtime and said, would you help me during my lunch if I can get back in 10 minutes? I said, sure, because it was my free time. I was told by the supervisor that ran that particular thing, that particular program, I could not work with those two boys. I could not tutor them in school time. I quit. I haven't tutored since. Because I feel if I can't tutor a child, that's ridiculous.
Inside the contract, when I was on the Board of Education, they had something called 300-minute contact time a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers had a 300-minute contact time.
Right.
Outside that 300 minutes, they didn't have to touch it. What profession
said,
do you know?
I'm not going to be a part of your program when you come to me and tell me that there are two more students that need my help in the same class.
And I can't help them
because their parents didn't put them in the testing program that allowed me to work with them as a volunteer.
Unfortunately, with a lot of these programs, too, those little issues, okay, that each kid has, and it goes from kid to kid, some of those little issues are now being put on a permanent record that follow them all the way through high school, college, and et cetera. I have twins. They're the same age, okay? My daughter may get an assignment, and they'll both get the same assignment where they have to read 8 pages and answer 8 questions on those 8 pages. My daughter may be able to answer all 8 of those with no problem. My son may have problems with 2. My son, that would be considered unacceptable, and he needs to go to a special class, you know, for a half an hour a day to be able to do what my daughter was able to do, simply because he couldn't answer 2 questions. And that will follow him through his entire educational career. That's what we're facing today. It's wrong. Nobody teaches anymore.
And it is discrimination. It is a form of discrimination. We have to just look at it what it is.
White and black.
You got it. Poor and rich. I mean, it is just discrimination. If you did this to children that said, okay, only the children that have 4 freckles on their nose can get into this classroom, there would be, people would be burning the building down. But we allow this to happen to these children on a regular basis, whether they be an athlete, whether they be black, whether they be white, from a rich family, from a poor family, from
I have to say, it's across the board, guys. I mean, we talk about in inner city, but you have to understand our sticks, our broadcast goes far beyond the inner city, and this is happening in the suburbs as well as in the inner city. This is happening with children who are a part of excellent school districts and children who are a part of school districts that are in F.
Right.
Well, it may happen to those school districts too, Craig. But in those school districts, white school districts, you have a percentage of 8th grade black males proficient in reading in Milwaukee 3%, Cleveland 3%, Detroit 5%. It affects us more.
Absolutely, and I understand that. And you're right. I'm not going to negate that. You're right. But we need to also understand that this game is being played in America everywhere. They don't want you to know that. So they definitely don't want you to come together and fight together for this or against this. Because if you ever come together and fight together, then it will overthrow their program and their plan.
Well, they didn't get none of my kids. And I champion for other people's kids too. I put them in schools that I knew that was tremendous. But I go back and I have championed and spent thousands of dollars trying to taking busloads of board members to visit schools in other districts, other parts of the state, and say, "What can we don't
do
this?"
All that. They ain't got time for that.
Well, they went, but they didn't do it and make any changes when they got back.
Why not? Why didn't they make the changes?
I can probably tell you there was no money in it. That's what I would say. I see a tremendous amount of
waste. You got kind of quiet there. That's the question of the hour.
There's so much waste.
Yeah, my question is, why didn't they do something about it?
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know. And I have taken talk, march, protest, Chicago, Detroit. I mean, when you have 5,000 black parents come out on sub-zero days in Detroit and say, we are sick and tired of this. I mean, you can't say that the parents don't care. I mean, they wrote a book about this. When you have a problem in Milwaukee, when Milwaukee wanted to start charter schools, when the governor, Mickey Thomas, said that, you know, what you should have is an African-American school district. He's a Republican. He wanted to go along with that. So where blacks could have more control over their own. Guess, you know who did? The NAACP.
NAACP?
Yeah.
But why do you have some people out here arguing over?
They wrote a book about it. The book is called Not Yet Free at Last.
Why do we have some districts, and this goes to curriculum again, and this is the overall education, just on history books, how we teach our kids history. We debate about that a lot. I mean, what goes in choosing a history book? Because you have to choose
this,
right?
I got a question for you. I got to go, guys. We're at the end of the day, but I just have one question for you. Tell me this. How is it we're going to have African-American History Month next month? but it's not written into the history books all year long.
There you go. Now, I guess that's for another show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, different history books teach different history, and I think that's a main problem that we see today when it comes on what to teach.
Which is a difficult curriculum.
Hey, 678, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy, I just wanted to answer that question that you asked Bianca.
Yeah, hold on. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
The reason why the teachers didn't do anything, because they don't have the authority to make any changes.
So what do
no,
we do?
I'm talking about the board. I took board members, and superintendent. And in Detroit, they wrote a book about that, The Education of Black Males by Clifford Watson. You know, it's one thing about me, when I talk about something, I give you the resources where you can do the research yourself.
So if you took board members, Pianchi, and the superintendent, why do you think they didn't make any changes?
For a reason why, come the lady said, they don't want to make the changes. Or they figure, well, what's going on here is too black. You know, they come up with all kinds of excuses.
Yeah, that curriculum. There we go.
When you had a group of people wanted to start a board a charter school, the state board of education wanted to change the charter law and said that a charter cannot duplicate an already successful plan. A charter cannot create a school of isolation. If you don't believe me, ask me, and I will send you a copy of it.
It is
because
they want a different
curriculum
of services.
You cannot use as a guideline an already successful program.
Tomorrow Jeff will be here. You know, it'll be open mic, and you guys, you know, just do what you do. I appreciate you. I gotta go. I won't be here tomorrow. I've gotta go to the doctor, but I will see you guys back here on Monday. I love you guys. I'll leave the phone lines on so you guys can continue the conversation. If you want to listen in, you've got to go to 33 the Tracy and Friends /blogtalkradio. So blogtalkradio/TracyandFriends or TracyandFriends.com, and you can click on there. You can listen to into the rest of the conversation. We appreciate you. God bless you, and I'll see you guys on tomorrow.
We had to take – are we still on?
Bianchi, I want to say before if we get cut off, I don't know how long it's going to be.
You won't get cut.
We've
got a half hour, Bonnie.
I think I have done what you have given me, the resources. I remember one time we were talking privately on a time when we weren't on the air, and I said, you know, about the Carl Upchurch, you know, convicted in the womb, whatever our topic was about. And it was led to Bridges Out of Poverty. And the books that you're referring to are used in those reference books. They are used. What book you just mentioned is used in that. They know there's a system put in design. They've used the information that has been gathered up to write books on poverty.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, that's why I said that's why the books is part of curriculum, because I said even the authors, many different entities, but I just want to say something. See, and I would state non-traditional colleges in the state of Maryland got caught copying the curriculum of traditional black colleges. You can't do that. See, you can't do that. Why would you copy a curriculum? Because the reason why they were doing it, they were trying to pull other students from them HBCU colleges. Non-traditional black colleges were trying to copy, you know, copying the curriculum. You can't do that.
Well, we used to have people from all over the place want to come in and look at our curriculum and see what they was doing. But here's the point: it's just like when we had a group that wanted to start a charter school in the 90s, 1988, 1990, and we had everything in place, had professionals who was going to do the management, and our curriculum would consist of several schools that was outstanding, and we applied to Harris Stowe. Givens, he was the one, a black man, said it was too black. They wouldn't sponsor it. So when the law says if a local concern does not sponsor your charter, then you have a right to appeal to the State Board of Education, and they're supposed to sponsor. Well, they kept giving us the ring around. We had to hire a lawyer, Mr. Goodman, and we had to file suit, in civil court. The judge's name was Durker. He still sits today. We had to file suit against the State Board of Education. And the State Board of Education would not tell us what was wrong with our plan. The judge said, you got to tell them what's wrong. Okay, they said. So when they came back, and it basically was the crossing of T's and dotting the I's, and we straightened all that up, and we sent it back to them. They sat on and sat on. The judge said, you got to let them know what your decision is. And they wrote a letter back and said that our charter meets all and succeeds all the standards, but we still ain't going to give you a charter. And in that letter, and in the meantime, Jocelyn Strand, who was over the charter schools for the state of Missouri, worked for the State Board of Education, she went to a legislator of St. Charles County. His name is House. And she introduced some verbiage for them to change the charter law. And in it, she said that a proposed charter cannot duplicate an already successful plan, and you cannot have a curriculum that would create a school of isolation. School of isolation? This school was going to be in a neighborhood that's 99% black, so it's not a private school. Anybody can come to it. Charter schools are public schools.
But I have
and
no
I got a
three-ring
binder
saying,
of all that.
Right, but see, Pianki, I have no problem them saying you don't have to copy. No, why can't you come up with your own special curriculum, be creative and come up with your own curriculum? But long
Mike,
get
if
the,
you
the
was
going,
let me ask you a question. If you was going to build a car tomorrow, would you go all the way back and start off with a Model A Ford?
No, I'm saying, though, if I had these group of people together and we said we want to start this charter school, we saying we independent, so we have a special way that we want to get this information into these kids' heads and so they can apply it in life. Why do you have to copy another person's curriculum?
In
why
Portland,
can't you be creative?
Listen, in Portland, Washington, see, Portland, they came up with a curriculum called the Portland Baseline Essays back in the 70s. Every school district across the country got a copy of that. That was concerned about what they was doing. They do it all the time.
Right, but they saying it's like they saying don't plagiarize. It's like I can read
it
something.
It has nothing
like
to do with plagiarization. If you see something
like
that's
I
going,
can read
if you,
but I can rewrite it in a whole different way. You see what I'm saying? They're saying
no,
don't,
I don't see
don't
what you're saying, Mike.
No, don't
what you're saying is not right. So
no, I'm just
don't,
saying,
I'm not gonna go.
Copy,
no, I'm not gonna go no further with you on that.
No,
what you're saying is not correct.
But Pianki, it's happening in my state of Maryland, and people are getting sued. The state that people went to court because colleges was copying other people's curriculum. What I'm just saying, Pianki, I understand
Mike,
what you're saying.
Mike, curriculums are not patented. You don't have no copyright on a curriculum.
No, but this. Okay.
So Pianki,
what
you're
saying,
and let me see if
I
understand what you're
but
saying.
But there's a
Pianki.
Reason, but we're trying to steal so they can get students, man. I'm just saying.
We had portions of the city of Detroit. I got a copy of the city of Detroit back in 1998. They just finished writing a curriculum, which has the African Center themes in it, and they passed it out throughout the whole district. Detroit had 80,000 students in their district at that time. I don't know what it's down to now. They had some schools that were so, like Malcolm X Academy, 60 Minutes done a spot on that school.
I remember that.
So don't tell me that these things didn't work. So if you got something that's working that outstanding, where those children in Malcolm X Academy was outperforming the students in Grosse Pointe and Ann Arbor, why not look at what they're doing and say, hey, we can use this too?
Right.
No.
So let me see if I understand what you're saying, Pianki. Are you saying that even if you use it as a model, not copying it verbatim, there are some wranglings in the works that said, oh, you're copying this curriculum, you can't use it, even though you're not
what
actually
it is,
copying
is that,
it.
Now, what it was actually is that they didn't want us to have a charter school.
Oh, okay.
No
but
matter
no,
what
oh,
we
they
use.
Talk about the curriculum about the. Oh, I'm just misunderstanding.
No,
so.
I said
see,
that. I said that. Now listen to what I'm saying. Would you
okay,
listen to what I said? I told you that Jocelyn Strand, who was the coordinator of charter schools for the State Board of Education for Missouri, she went to a legislator and tried to block any future attempts like what we was doing from happening. And she did that by saying that a charter application cannot duplicate an already successful program, basically. And I got the law in there in the other room. I can go get it and read it to you verbatim. And she said
right.
that it cannot create a school of isolation. They didn't go no place, so we went to another representative, John Bolden, and told him to pull it off the floor, and he did.
So in essence, what happens, well, let's hypothetically say that you guys were able to do that. Now, in the event that that would have happened and you guys were, let's say you guys were able to actually, you know, be able to fulfill your school to capacity, was the line of thinking on the other side that they would lose funding as a result because all of a sudden they are going
to
start having empty debt?
No, they didn't want black groups. They didn't want black groups to have charter schools, basically what it was.
Period.
Because charter schools, because if you and I wanted to, you and I was biochemists, and we wanted
right.
to teach young kids and introduce them to biochemistry at the elementary at level,
early age.
We had
right.
a right to do that. Plus,
right.
at the same time, they would have to know to be able to perform at according to the state standard. We have a school here called the Construction Training School, where children go in and they learn the prerequisites of getting into the commercial construction trade. And also they have to be able to perform at a state minimum standards. So they have the ABCs, reading and writing. Then one portion of the day, the other portion of the day, they get into the involvement of whatever craft that they're thinking about getting involved in, whether it's carpentry, ironworking, or plumbing, and
because
so on and so on.
Right. Because
I kind of understand what they said. I mean, I understand both sides, and I understand what you said, Piyaki, and I know you be well. But I'm just talking about the duplication of curriculum. What does that mean, and why do you think that they were coming from that angle about duplicating a curriculum?
I told you why they was coming from that angle. We are,
hey,
you know, another
hey,
thing, we got, we was gonna, you know,
Piyaki.
One person's going to start a school on emergency medical.
This is in my state, though, too, Piyaki.
Piyaki.
This is not only in Missouri, about
Listen,
duplicating other people's
they had
curriculum.
Another school. The curriculum doesn't have anything. If you, you wanted to start a school on teaching emergency medical technician or first responders, you call up the Department of Transportation and they will send you that curriculum.
Piyaki.
Yes.
You guys hear me?
Okay.
What you got here in South Carolina, they call it duplication of services. Okay. If you have an established entity in a particular county or in a particular district, you cannot replace that with a service or another of the same sort. So if you've got a all day 4K program, all day 4K kindergarten program, and you wanted to start a charter school, even though the school district is inadequate in giving those 4-year old services, you could not do it because one already exists in that county or in that district. So,
well, that has nothing to do with it. That has
how,
nothing to do. Well, see, here's the point. We were mimicking Kansas City's curriculum that Kansas City was using. We were mimicking curriculum that Detroit was using, Detroit, Michigan. We were duplicating. We were using parts and portion of curriculum that was used in South Central L.A. Missouri has no jurisdiction on two of those. So, yes, you can.
Why would you think, okay, Bianca, in the state of why would you think that a state judge.
It wasn't no state judge.
Historical, oh, no, I'm just talking about Maryland. In my case, you have non-historical black colleges, right? Like maybe Towson. Some of them may be Maryland. It's copying historical black colleges like Morgan, Coppin, okay, Bowie State, right? Copying that stuff, right? Why do you think that would be against the law? Why do
it
you
shouldn't
think
be against the law. Listen.
So that's what it's exactly.
Let me explain this something to you. Every university put on their website what you should have known before we would admit you into this university.
Yeah, and it's university.
My grandson is looking at going to several colleges, and we have to make sure that he is taking in high school what they require for him to have already covered before he goes into that undergraduate study at that university.
And that means
they're telling you what you got to know.
Okay, so hold up. Therefore, hold up. You're proving my point again. Also, the universities is another entity that controls the curriculum in high schools because they tell the high schools what to teach the kids to come to universities. So that's another.
They don't tell the high schools what to teach the kids. All children don't have to know those things. They tell them what they expected to know.
I know.
Right.
If you want to be a civil engineer, if you want to be a civil engineer.
I understand that.
I have a flowchart here.
The reason why with somebody, listen, the reason why a non-historical black college would copy a copy of Morgan State curriculum, because Morgan State got biotech, right? The reason why they would do that is because they want to pull other students and let it look. We offer the same thing, and it's pulling other students from that, and that's not fair. Let's get down to the money now.
Well, there's no there's no monopoly on no curriculum, man. How many schools teach biomedical? My goodness.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, what is the reason? I'm not saying, look, we can talk, but what is the reason? Why the other side is saying that?
The same reason why we have a high school here where it costs about $18,000. I think it costs maybe $27,000 a year. They came to my grandson and said, if you wanted to come to our high school because of your baseball skills, we would have paid your full tuition. Because they want to try to attract students, certain students. That's why.
But don't copy my curriculum door to door. See, in my state of Maryland, we were begging. Listen, we asked our state of Maryland for $14 million for the HBCUs to uplift. They only gave us four. They couldn't even meet us halfway. I'm saying we're struggling, bro. But I'm saying don't copy.
And you know why come
HCBUs
are struggling?
And when we're struggling. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Nobody wants to go to HCBU. Some HCBUs do do good. Morgan does very good. Morgan State.
Exactly. Right. And
they have a good medical
program.
Well, all of them don't have good programs.
Okay, so. Hold on. I want to say this. So why would a Towson or a Towson or Merlin want to copy Morgan State's curriculum? Why?
Because, Mike, it's very simple. Because
I'm saying make your own. Don't do that. Let us make our own curriculum and let us build ourselves.
Let me ask you something. Morgan State has African American studies there, don't they?
Yes, they do.
You got a private, you have private colleges in your area that have African American studies. So what is the difference when one talk about Harriet Tubman and the other talk about Harriet Tubman?
No. It's about the curriculum. It's about the structure.
It is in the curriculum. The curriculum says talk about Harriet Tubman. Man, I ain't arguing with you no more. You ain't never looked at a curriculum in your life.
I do. Different colleges, when you go to different colleges, they teach you IT, but they have a different structure.
What curriculums
have
you looked at, Mike? Come on, tell me.
Many curriculums.
You just
want
to argue just to be making noise.
Okay.
Name me one.
Well, you're just going to have to look up the definition of curriculum. I'm done, guys.
You don't have to look up. I just asked you, what curriculums have you looked at?
Well,
have you looked at our basic skills?
Well, why are they getting sued, Pianchi? Why the judge say it's against the law in Maryland, Pianchi? I'm saying
I don't think the judge. I tell you what, next time put me that case, go to Fine Law, and put that case in the chat room so I can look at it. Because I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I'll put it up to you there. I'll put it in the chat room. Well, I can't get to the chat room because I'm not.
Next time we have an opportunity, put it in the chat room. Yeah.
He's talking about, you know. We're talking about curriculums like a high school or like a creative curriculum or something like that. You know,
well, we talk about curriculum in general, the meaning of curriculum on all levels. It doesn't matter. You still kind of another
curriculum.
It doesn't matter.
The curriculum for a 3 or 4 year early childhood education curriculum is structured different than that of a post high school.
No, when we're talking about the curriculum, we're talking about the lesson. I understand you're talking about different levels, but we're talking about, see, he was trying to change, duplicate another
curriculum on a high school level, but we're talking about even on the universities, they're still doing the same thing.
I said, and I got a copy of the doggone thing. I said that our curriculum was pieces and parts of successful schools. And why not? Go on YouTube and look at Marcus Garvey's school in South Central LA and look what them 2-year-old children are doing. Go on C-SPAN and pull up the Education Committee, Connie Mack, the Senator of Florida, and listen to what he's talking about this particular to an Educational Committee at the United States Senate.
Well, let me ask you
so
something.
So why would you not? And you know what? Here's the point. He asked the same question.
Wow.
Why come this is not being done everywhere? A U.S.
I just want to ask a question. The schools that you pulled and got your curriculum from, where did they get theirs? Did they pull theirs from other people too, or did they just created their own new unique
black people,
way of
black
people?
People you
asking?
Had black people. You had black people producing what they know that they need to know, and was teaching it, and they was doing excellent on it. That's
and
where
it
comes from.
It was unique from another, and so therefore it was unique.
Well, Mike,
from
in Detroit,
right?
In Detroit, they had a school called Native. Let's see, Indian Bear. It was for Native American children. Guess what? They were performing off the track. In New York, they had an Italian American curriculum that Cromo put into place. The children that went there was of Italian heritage, and they were studying based on looking at the world through their Italian heritage eyes.
Okay, Bianchi, so what is their philosophy? Okay, look, I'm not going to sit up here. Look, I just want to get this.
But
what
you
is
are.
Their philosophy? Oh, I'm going to ask anybody. What is their philosophy, these politicians, these judges, and their lawmakers? Not
you have to ask them.
No. Let's ask all of us, okay? Because maybe we can change it. If that's the case in your state and my state, why is it against the law, or you shouldn't do copying someone else's curriculum to for you to say you want to build a new?
It
curriculum?
Ain't against the law. I don't know where y'all
law?
Getting that stuff from.
It ain't y'all saying
well, no,
that.
You can
that's
get
him
it sued.
Saying
no,
that.
You no in Maryland you can get sued because the college can get fined for that. You can get fined for that. Why are they saying that, guys? I'm saying, why are they coming with that concept? And that's all I'm saying. What is the other side saying?
I agree with what Pianchi's saying because in my experiences, just like he's saying with the Indian school, with the Italian school, every culture seems to be able to do that except when you start talking about the black community. Because I know in Oakland, the Asian kids, right when you get to Chinatown on the other side of Lake Merritt, those kids go to normal public schools in Oakland Monday through Friday. And then when you get on the other side of the lake, there's a school right there, right by the Oakland Public Library, where all of them same kids from all over Oakland, Chinese kids, they're in school on Saturday. And this is their particular setup that they have. And all these Chinese kids, you can drive by there, and you'll swear to God, it's just an ordinary day out of the week, Monday through Friday.
Yes.
Kids going to recess in the yard, they playing, and then they have to go inside, and they go to school. They do this on a Saturday, and it's their own stuff. And it's not against any law. It's not breaking any rules or anything. So I agree with what Pianchi's saying. This seems to only happen in the black community.
Well, what do you think about my case in the state of Maryland, where, you know, we have it hard as it is. They say our, you know, black kids are not uneducated. When you open up a historically black college, you can't copy a traditional, quote-unquote, Caucasian college that have all those millions of dollars, so you have to start from scratch. You have to come curriculum, and then they get caught copying you.
So what do you think about that in Duque?
Well, Mike, for the most part, the core elements of curriculums are fairly generic. It doesn't matter where you are, the core requirements. Now, when you introduce this whole logic about universities, it doesn't matter what secondary school that you go to, the core requirements are basically going to be the same for any university that you apply to. There's certain level of math that you have to have completed. There's
so
certain level of English, history. You have to take a foreign language for so many years. You get to pick. They tell you what languages you get to choose from. It's standardized, though, Mike.
Okay, hold on. Listen, why do parents select schools? I guarantee you they're going to select a private school. They're going to select a charter school. They're going to say, I like their curriculum and the uniqueness of it. You can't tell me that, bro.
Okay, here's what I'll tell you, all facts.
And curriculum is on all levels, elementary,
all facts.
Here's what I'll tell you.
When I came out of high school and I started applying to universities, okay, I qualified for the state universities in California. I qualified for the UC system in California. I had scholarship offers to go to Grambling University, Southern University, Xavier. Now, they're in Louisiana, okay? All three of them, Xavier's in Louisiana, Grambling, and Southern. I qualified to go to this small school in Illinois, and it was all based on me meeting the basic requirements to get into these universities, which are all in different states. That contradicts what you're saying.
Why do people go to Harvard or Yale? Why is that prestigious, or Princeton or the University of California, Stanford? Why do they go to those places?
Well, you know the reason. Come on.
Because of the curriculum, I guarantee it, right? So,
no,
come
it's
on,
it not necessary always the curriculum.
That's a part of it. I guarantee that's a part of it. That's a fact. Why are y'all arguing with this?
Right. Sometimes a lot of it has to do with the professors at the schools.
And I
exactly.
guarantee you, because the professors get, and guess what? Watch this. The professors, when you teach, is how.
Mike, listen. What you're trying to say is that
curriculums
are unique to. You're trying to say that curriculums are unique and they are copyrighted. That is not true.
Right. That's
hell,
right.
You can go on the internet and get a curriculum, man.
Right. And just to prove Pianchi's point, Mike, name me a president. Name me one president that did not graduate from an Ivy League school. Name one.
No.
Exactly.
Well, we were talking
about
curriculum.
That's my point. So if you're growing up in the right family, in the right social order, the right social structure, and they put you on track to get into some high-level politics, you are not going to go to Notre Dame. You're not going to go to NYU. You're going to go to Princeton, Harvard, or Yale. One of those three. Where did Obama go? Where did Bush go? Where did Bush Sr. go? Where did Clinton go? Where did they go? They all came out of the same damn institutions because that's where you go if that's what you want to do. That's what he's saying. So it depends on what you're gearing yourself towards. So when you start talking about Stanford, when you start talking about Stanford and Harvard, you go to those schools for a reason.
Watch this. Listen. When we talk about curriculum, you're even talking about how a teacher can convey the information where you have to watch out how the teachers just give the facts and don't put their opinions when they give the information because they may persuade the students. Remember, you have a person teaching a certain subject or like history, and their ideas and their personal beliefs may come across. Now,
You have many people in the political field say if you go to certain universities, they teach you certain ideologies. Like you have Republicans say those people from Harvard, they're liberals. You see, because they see the
well, if it's a private university, they can do that.
Okay.
If it's a private university, they can do it. They can't do it in a public university.
Okay.
You cannot add a certain political slant to a lesson plan in a public school. You cannot teach the what's on the back of Muhammad Speaks in a public school, but you can in a private school.
Because they're
in
not
public
using
schools,
public forum.
In public schools, they only play certain speeches that. Martin Luther King made. Speech. They don't teach the ones where he talked about the Vietnam War. They don't teach the ones where he talked about Negroes need to stick together.
Well, who's stopping them?
Because it's a school. It receives public dollars.
No. If I was a teacher, so you're saying if I was a teacher teaching kids up the next month, and I say, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give you, y'all study all these quotes of Martin Luther King, and I give him a quote. I can put up all his quotes. What do you mean that I have a teacher, I have to watch out which quotes I put up?
You got to stick to the, if you coming along in the curriculum, you're on the week where they talk about Martin Luther King, they ain't going to talk about Malcolm X. Then they got all that in that curriculum. That's what you got to teach.
Right, so
that's why the principal come to you and tell you to stick to the curriculum.
Or you get fired.
So so what are you telling me? So she's going to dictate that I can't play the tape where he says we need to go get our check, how they gave this country gave all the white people this
You
rich
tell
land,
him into.
And then there's, hold on. Yeah. I'm asking you. Who's going to stop me from doing that? Because I'm giving a lesson on all of his speeches. I'm giving the threat of you being fired.
Okay, let's get to the crux of it, Mike. See, because you hell bent on this whole you hell bent on this curriculum thing. So here's the deal, okay? Wherever you're teaching at has a design curriculum in place. You cannot go in there with all of your creativity, with all of your innovative ideas. You cannot go in.
That's the problem.
You cannot listen. You cannot go in and trump the curriculum. So if they had it set up to where, okay, it's Black History Month. Here's the speeches that that you have to choose from that you can have your students focus on during this period. If this is what what you're going to teach. Now you decide that you're gonna get a wild hair. You decide you're gonna get a wild hair up your ass and go up and pull up something obscure that he did that is not listed in that curriculum. Just like Piazzi said, next thing you know, principal's knocking on the door.
You know what happened?
You're proving my point, though. But see,
you're not proving my point. Let me show you what else happened.
Many people controlling now.
Listen,
exactly.
Let me show you what else happened.
You're proving my point.
We had a case one time. We had a case one time where a brother was in the school at the auditorium, and he was talking about a particular thing. And he mentioned something about white folks. It was only one white kid in the whole damn auditorium. He went home and told his parents, and all hell broke out.
Broke
the
loose.
Same thing happened with Bill Clinton's daughter. When she went to a school, and I know the brother who ran the school, and he was teaching African history, telling the story the way it should have been told. This girl went home and told her parents all hell broke out. So you cannot teach the truth, all aspects of the truth, the way it happened. You cannot teach or study. No, you can study them, but you cannot teach Malcolm X's speeches in no public school. You can in a private school because your people, that's children that's going there, are paying to go there.
Yep.
On their own fruition. They are paying on their own fruition with public schools, too, but
so when
you have a large amount of
school,
public money going
do?
In to support it.
So let me ask you this. Now, when you get your charter school, right, are they going to still set you limits like that, too?
In charter schools are governed by a private board. They're not governed by a public board.
So hold up. So in that charter school, they can give Malcolm X speeches and Martin Luther King speeches?
More likely, yes, because as I told you before, in a public school, the board is elected by the general public.
Okay.
In a charter school, the board is chosen.
Now, where does the charter school get that money from? Do they get that money from private entities or
no,
government?
Yes, you can get money from private entity. Most of the money, it comes from when that child leaves the traditional public school, the money follows them to the private, to the charter school.
So it's government money. Right. So it's government money. So you're saying that the government is not going to object that private of that charter school?
The charter law,
Charter
law gives the charter school autonomy from the local school district.
Right.
So they can
and
do anything
hey, Pianchi,
they want.
Isn't it a situation where they have to, after so many years, I think it's 3 to 5 years, then they come up for review based on the performance level?
Performance.
And as long as
Absolutely.
The kids are meeting, as long as the kids are meeting the performance level, then they can continue to operate the way they operate.
Right, and they're
I think
sponsored
it's like
by
3 to 5 years. It's 3 to
right,
5 years.
Most sponsor and charter schools have to be sponsored by a university or a community college, and sometimes other entities depending on the state. So what the community college or the university agrees to, send somebody in and make sure that the paperwork, the reports, and things are being made the way
right.
they're supposed to be
right.
on time. Or you can
right.
hire
right.
an independent source to do that.
Because community colleges help with the curriculum. They let the
no, the community college do not help with the curriculum. If you want them to, they could.
They
don't
do.
Help with
when
the curriculum. You write your own curriculum.
The universities let the I know, but hold up, they have a input because they let the schools know what the kids.
Mike, how many charter schools have you tried
to
start?
Huh? I haven't. Maybe I will, but I'm getting my.
Well, that's what you need
to
do.
To you
how are you going to tell somebody who don't went through this stuff for years?
But how can
something
you make a
other
statement?
Than...
Listen, Bianchi, how can you contradict yourself when you said that the universities come and they help them out? And I'm letting you know the universities at least have an input and say schools. Make sure you teach your kids this.
The university, let me tell you what the universities do.
AP courses, man. My son is an AP
well,
courses.
Well, here's the point. If the universities don't want to sponsor you.
The college let them know what they need to do, bro.
If the universities don't want to sponsor you, you can appeal to the State Board of Education to sponsor you. And that's it.
I know that, you know. Okay.
No, you don't know nothing.
The same thing. I think you disagree with me.
What are you doing on? What are you doing on this early in the morning, anyway?
I know you. What'd you say? Because
I say, what are you doing? All right.
Because I can be. Why are you worrying about my time? Let's stick with the topic, Bianchi. I'm not trying to prove you wrong. I'm saying what you're doing. Listen, I'm just saying, Bianchi. You're saying being independent and doing all this, there's laws that are saying about copying curriculum. You remember, you know, I'm getting information. Maybe
I don't know.
My own charter school.
There's no laws that tell you. What laws tell you about copying curriculum, man? Come on. You can get curriculums off the Internet.
You
can buy your curriculum.
Bianchi, you just told us the story that they said that you couldn't do it in your state, Bianchi.
I said that this lady tried to have the state legislature to revise the present law and add in that verbiage. And I told you, it didn't go nowhere. And that's what the problem is. You got some of these fools that's in these agencies are doing things they don't have no damn business doing. And most of them, a lot of them, well, all of them are guilty of it. It depends on what the topic is. If it's education, you got Democrats doing. Because Republicans say agree with the fact that parents should have more input in educating their children. Republicans say that you should have choice. It's them Democrats that's against choice because of the damn school teachers unions and these vanguard organizations like the NAACP and the Urban League. Check this out.
How can this possibly be? What makes this work? Every single time we asked the question, the answer was, it's the teacher. It's the teacher. It's the teacher. Anyan Palmer challenged what was then considered the best private school in Los Angeles County. Their sixth grade against his third grade students. And I think it was in math and English. And you know who won? Anyan Palmer's third grade beat the sixth graders. How did he do it? What he said to me was, it was the teacher. And what I found out later is, Anyan Palmer was a public school teacher in California who became so frustrated and angry that the system was failing to teach children in his community that he quit the public schools and started his own school. And you know what he did? He also trained his own teachers. He said, forget everything you've learned. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you how to teach. So, again, I thank the senator for asking me to restate that story, but it made a major impression on me. We can talk about all these other things, but if we don't focus on how to make sure
that Anyan Palmer school was all black, his third grade took on and challenged all white school in L.A. County with a math and reading contest. They were the sixth grade, and his school was third grade. And they blew him out of the water.
So basically he was telling them that he wanted to teach his – so he was so he has his own type
no,
of curriculum.
No, this is what happened. This is what happened. Anyan Palmer was teaching at one of the universities in California. I think it's the University of California. Just like all black teachers do, they start teaching black kids the way that they know that they can learn. Word got around in the university. He was called into the dean's office and warned. He was called into the dean's office a second time. And the dean told him, he said, look, you have to stop doing that or not you're going to get fired. Anyan Palmer told the dean, well, I'm a tenured professor. The dean told Anyan Palmer, tenure for you does not mean the same as it means for everybody else. In other words, he's saying that even though you attended, we still going to fire you. So what he done, he quit and started the Marcus Garvey Academy. He took one other professor with him, and I think she's still principal in the school today. Her name is Linda, and I just talked to her last week. He started that school back in 1970, either 72 or 75.
Because they didn't like his curriculum.
No. It had nothing to do with, well, I guess you could say he didn't like his curriculum.
Fact,
no, he was just closing the door. He didn't
have
a curriculum. He was a professor, and what he was, the method of how he was teaching black children, it was, and what he was saying and telling them, it's just like today in Arizona, I believe
it's
it.
Method,
no, it's Texas.
It's his curriculum, Pianchi. You stand with it. I don't want to argue with you this morning, earlier this afternoon, but we're saying the same thing. He has a unique curriculum.
If it's working, what's the problem?
Exactly. I agree with you. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they didn't like his curriculum. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
they have a problem because
forget
people
that.
Have different
forget
philosophies.
That. If you got,
because
if you
we
got
have too
third
many,
graders,
as I say again, we
if
have
you
too
got
many entities
graders,
controlling the curriculum.
If,
as
if
I say
you
again.
Got third graders outperforming sixth graders in a private school, who can do whatever they want with their curriculum, they're completely out of the jurisdiction of the public educational system. That has no jurisdiction, so they're allowed to do whatever they want and teach it however they want, whatever angle or perspective.
So why can't we make what you do the standard across the board? Then everyone will be smart. Why can't we mimic, everyone mimic exactly what he does, and then everybody in the country will be smart?
Because people like you present this fallacious argument about curriculum.
No,
that's
no,
why.
No, no. Hold up. Notice, I said, I'm just saying, if you got some rules down, Don't, especially when you're messing with the historical black colleges and they playing by the rules and you non-traditional got
listen
all that
this.
Money. Hold on. I know. I just want to say something. If let's just make a law saying we have to make this a standard across the board so everybody can be even. Why can't we? Would there be freedom then?
Listen to this.
Some basic stuff. There was a building with rooms in it, an administrator and teachers and students. And he said, I want to take you down and show you what some of our students are doing. He said, unfortunately, the school is not filled today because of the time of the year that it is. Priscilla and I went down to a room where there were three different groups of children being taught in the same room. The first group of students that we saw were two-year-old children. Now, again, I would emphasize two-year-old, not second graders, two-year-old children, eight of them sitting at a little table. And the teacher said to the children, show the Senator and Mrs. Mack how you can say your ABCs. And if you all can imagine the cute little voices of those children as they recited their ABCs. And so then when they finished that, the teacher said, well, now that you've done it in English, do it in Spanish. And so then the little two-year-old children went through their alphabet in Spanish. And when they finished that, the teacher then said to them, well, now do the alphabet in Swahili. And they did that as well, 2 years old. We went across the room to where three-year-old children were doing math problems. And the teacher said to me, give one of the students a math problem. And as I would suspect most people would have done, I gave a problem like 5 plus 8, you know, pretty straightforward. But again, 3 years old. She said, no, give them a tough problem. So I said something like 325 plus 182. And this three-year-old child standing at the board, putting little dots, wrote down a number, another series of dots, wrote down a number, another series of dots, wrote down the right answer. 3 years old. We went across the room where four-year-old children were reading. And we were told that these children were reading at the second, third, and fourth grade level. 4 years old. We went into another room in this facility where five-year-old children, a little boy was asked to stand up and recite for me in the proper chronological order every president of the United States. And that little fella stood up, looked me right in the eyes, and I mean he rattled right through every president of the United States in the proper order. Now, I must admit, I knew that he did that because they gave me a cheat sheet to look at. 5 years old. And every time that we went to a different area and saw these students, these children at work, Priscilla and I would say to this person who was taking us around, how can this be? How can this possibly be? What makes this work? Every single time we...
All right, that was it. Connie Mack talking about the school. And the question is why come black schools across the country don't mimic what's going on in this all-black school in South Central L.A.? And since then, the schools got larger. They built their own high school. And it's going on and on and on.
Mike, you there?
No, I'm here. What you do? Go to sleep?
Who else on the line? No, man, I'm up cleaning up.
Did you hear that?
But I heard a little bit of it.
Sometimes I think you're a CIA agent.
No, I'm not no CIA agent. No, I'm just a little Pianchi. I listen. Brother, I love this discussion, but as you can clearly see, I think both of us can clearly see why it is chaos and confusion, because you stating right and I'm stating right. I'm stating what they're doing in the laws and how it is, and it's crazy. I mean, we're proving the point why it's all crazy, and I said we just need some structure and some guidance. It's all chaos.
No, what I say is this.
And I agree with the unions, and the unions is not putting the
I don't agree with no damn unions. The unions, Mike,
no,
unions are a menace.
It's a problem because they're not putting up to the highest
standard. If they're a problem, how you going to agree with them? This is what I say.
I never
think
said
that,
I agree with them. I never said I agree.
You just
said
you agree with the unions.
Listen to Yonkey. I said that I agree that the unions are part of the problem.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
They access the teachers for higher standards. They can collect that check.
You know, another thing about the teachers at this school.
So it's a catch 22, you know.
You know, another thing about the teachers at this school and also these other black schools, what the success is going on except for the public school, none of the teachers are certified. They come out of business or wherever they come from and bring their talents and teach children. And these children excel. Blacks as a group have all the necessary skills and talents to change their situation around next week if they wanted to.
You know, one of the sad things that I saw when I went up to and I'll say the name of the school, South Carolina State University, a couple of years ago, and talked to one of the admissions persons. 68% of all the enrolled of the freshman class had to take remedial courses. 68%.
Oh, yeah.
Remedies. And that's crazy. I mean, they take English 101 because they had to get remedial courses just to bring them up to that level.
Our community college is here the same way.
And
I just enrolled my grandson in community college to take effective supervisor skills, dealing with difficult people in the workplace, lead change, new essentials of leadership, and no sweat public speaking. He's 16, and he's going to be sitting in classrooms with adults. But the community colleges
hold
are
on,
full.
See, oh, my goodness. Hold on for 4 minutes. See, I was about to ask you a question. See, if you listen to what you're saying, I hear social skills in what your grandson also was saying. Because I was going to ask a question. What about having, I understand math and naming all your presidents, but what about having some social-type classes in dealing with other people? Because I think that's what the problem in education also. Because I understand that you need to learn your social skills at home and learn your discipline, but when the kids are in the classroom as a community together, what social type of classes that we're going to have?
Mm-hmm.
You said dealing with other people in the workplace, how to add an interview, stuff like that, social
Mike,
skills.
Mike, there's nothing keeping anybody from sending their children to school if you give them a choice.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. I never said that. What are y'all talking about?
I take interest and I take part in the direction
that
my grandson is educated.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, but in our education, we need more social type classes.
Well, you can do that. I introduce him to the classes that's going to play out with him when he goes to college.
And,
he's
right.
taking. He's going to have business as a minor.
Right. Name those classes again that you said. No. Name those classes that you said, Pianchi, again that your grandson was taking. You said how to deal with people in the workplace. You said what else?
Developing and using effective supervisor skills. Dealing with the difficult people in the workplace, another class. Leading change,
mm-hmm.
another class. New essentials of leadership, another class.
Mm-hmm.
No sweat public speaking, another class. Better communication to control conflict in the workplace, another class.
All social, thank you, and I love that. Because that, if you listen, those classes are going to teach him how to interact with people. Because at the bottom line, if we have to start a business together, I have to like you first. We're going to have to be social first. And what I'm saying is that's teaching them how to be to communicate with people and how to deal with other people. And I'm letting you know in some of our education, public school education, that needs to be taught more. Not religion, but just speak facts on how we deal with each other.
Well,
that's
not to keep me from keeping people
that.
From doing this.
Well, I don't. Well, they don't have. Well, what you mentioned, they don't have in a regular public school. See, that's
this summer.
That's some social type
this
stuff.
Summer,
that's
he's going.
that's how you communicate, and that's how we deal with each other. Listen to all those classes that you're talking about. And it's not no religion, it's all facts. Conflict resolution, conflict. I love it. We always try to resolve conflict. See? That's all I'm
going to
say.
This summer he's going to take solar basics, photovoltaic systems and components, math review for chemistry students, a 10-hour OSHA construction health and safety training certification, blueprint reading for construction trade. So that's what, you know, I think that's what people have to, if you're really serious about your child's education, you have to expose them to the things that he's going to need in order to accomplish the skills to be successful.
You know what, Pianki, this really turned the light on for me because, see, we always have to talk about conflict resolution in our community. That's our problem. We don't know how to, because like I said, before we start a business and all that stuff, they try to set the social problems separated from the economic problems. No, the social and the, you have to be social first before you even start with the economics, because we're dealing with each other. And I'm saying some of those classes that you mentioned out, that should be in the public schools. That should be guaranteed. How we deal with each other. Conflict.
Well, they can be. Matter of fact, Detroit had something. Detroit had something like that in their curriculum.
Those students that's coming from different churches or different backgrounds, they live around each other, some can community. When you have those kids in that setting, in that classroom, that's a moment that you can talk about resolving some conflict. All of them are there. So this is very important. I'm learning something today. So, no, I'm really learning something today, Pion.
On March the 26th through the 30th, him, and I'm also sponsoring another young member of the family, a male, they're going to attend the National Society of Black Engineers 40th Convention Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. And there you will see many of the black engineers in the country will converge, and a lot of things will be going on. Speakers, workshops, programs that young African-Americans that's aspiring to be engineers can be influenced by.
I'll tell you what, Pianki, I just came across a website here. It's called Scribd.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to read as many e-books in a month that you want to read for $8.99.
That's good. Reading is very, it's good. You got to learn how to read. I used to read with my grandson. I read with my grandson over Skype. We used to read all the Miseducation of the Negro, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization, on and on and on and on, over Skype. And his reading is, pretty superb.
Yep. And I'm also probably going to download the Audible app as well. I can't sit down and read. I'm in my truck. I'm driving down the road. I can.
The workshops at the conference, the work and roundtable panel discussion is going to be on developing TEDx style presentations. You're going to have postdoctorates, where and why to do it. You're going to have getting started in research, innovation to production, the key to entrepreneurship. They're going to have the effective communication, data and research results. So it's a lot of things that's going to be going on. I wish I could add another
one. But no one has that other curriculum, though. I guarantee no other school has that curriculum that you just
laid
out today.
But there's nothing keeping them.
I guarantee you there is no other school that's copying that curriculum. Everything that you just said, that is curriculum, and no other school is copying it.
This is a panel discussion, man. This ain't no curriculum.
No, I'm just talking about what your grandson was taking. All of what we were talking about, that is a certain curriculum of what he's going to do.
Ain't nobody else copying it.
Nobody can copy that.
Let me tell you what happens in
community college.
You have people from You got people from industry, no matter what paradigm, they come into a community college and say, look, I would like to teach this course. And if it's okay, they say, okay, we'll put it on schedule, set it up. People that there would announce it, people will enroll, go through the process of registration, enroll in that course, and pay their tuition, and there they are.
Right.
When I was coming up, they had a ham radio course in community college that I took up because at that time I was very interested in ham radio operation.
Especially
they don't have it anymore.
Courses are like that too.
Right, and community college, like I think it was the other somebody said that you have the fact that children are doing so bad in public school, they find out they try to get into colleges, they don't meet the requirements for admission. So they have to go to the community colleges and take up classes in those areas where they are deficient, which I think is a shame. So anyway, as I said before, the things we see from hear about the reports of African-American children all over the country, especially in these major cities, are doing so terrible in these public schools, why it's a shame, but more importantly, it doesn't have to be.
Here in Baltimore, if you get a 1600 on the SAT and you have a B average in high school, you can go to Johns Hopkins University totally free for the first year. And
that's
you can
good.
Keep all your scholarship money. All Baltimore City public school students.
That's good. There's a lot of black and African American Pacific scholarships out there. The Daughters of Confederacy, have contributed to scholarships specifically for black children. And there was a lot of them, but our children wasn't being able to step up to the plate and take advantage of them, so they had to open them up to other minority groups. And now, there's a lot of African-American children that's doing tremendous things.
Can't copy Morgan State curriculum, you see, but I'm saying we got Morgan State in Baltimore. They offering that. Those top students at high school, of course, Morgan State won't want that black student with, well, not. They don't have to be black, but Baltimore City Public School to go to Morgan. You see what I'm saying? So Johns Hopkins can't copy Morgan's curriculum. You see what I'm saying? Because it's competition, believe that. You know, if you got a smart, you know, in the inner city kid.
Well,
you know, that,
if they don't copy Morgan's curriculum,
even though Johns Hopkins do that, they can't go ahead and copy him because Morgan wants that 1600 B student too. See, you can't do that, man. That's why they do that.
It's cheaper to go to Morgan than it is to go to. To attend Johns Hopkins, Mike.
But what's more prestigious? If you can, you can go around.
You also have some scholarships. You also have some scholarships, Mike. You also have some scholarships that only will apply to a historically black college or university. In other words, if you go into Johns Hopkins, they won't give you the scholarship. If you go into Morgan, they will give you the scholarship.
Right, exactly. Because Johns Hopkins is a private school, right? Exactly.
Well,
but
even if Johns Hopkins. Listen, you can't use it to go to the University of Pennsylvania. You got to use it to go to a historically black college or university.
Right, right. Yeah, it depends on what the scholarship is, right. Criteria of it, right. Yeah. So, you know.
So for a judge, it's
a battle, though. But, Bianchi, you can't say it's a battle, though. It's a battle. So what we all were saying today, unfortunately, is chaos and confusion. But we're speaking is a battle in many ways in this education thing, unfortunately, Bianchi. And the kids are right there in the middle of it, if you look at it.
So if you know some young students in your community, especially in the elementary grade,
I have two boys, I got one graduating this year, and I got a 15-year-old.
Let me tell you something. Listen to this. You can go to Texas Instrument website, you can buy the latest calculators, scientific calculators, graphic